Ladies and gentlemen, it's Thursday, February 19th, 2026, and the evil brother of King Charles has been arrested. Stand by.
InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
Well, the Trump administration is in crisis, not because of anything Trump ever did with Epstein or the Mossad or CIA or MI6, but because by extension the DOJ has been helping the cover-up. Prince Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor was arrested today in the early morning light over in the UK for crimes basically against the state, crimes against his office. And they're saying that means giving secrets, intelligence, to Epstein. And that, of course, was Epstein's main operation, that money laundering and compromising people. And he stood by Epstein right until the end. Former Prince Andrew arrested over suspected misconduct in public office revealed in Epstein files, and a lot more. And this is because they know this is all coming out. They know nothing's going to stop it. The 3 million documents are over the top insane. The same stuff Jimmy Savile, the king's best friend and top confidant, was confirmed. Thousands of raped children, hundreds killed, satanic secret building inside his house, hidden behind a literal bookcase that slid open. And he had the highest level national security clearance. So the UK is run by pedophiles. Keir Starmer famously protected all the Islamic pedophiles, the rest of them, as the head magistrate. That is who these people are. Europe, just as bad or worse. And they imported this form of government and control here. So now even the White House is like, well, it'll crash the stock market. Even Democrat Congress people are like, well, it may crash the stock market if they all get indicted. Do it. We need to get rid of this satanic occupied government. Just be done, may the heavens fall. And they need to redact all the names of the people saying we're delivering the sex slave to the Hyatt Hotel for you. And they need to, and all the stuff with Noam Chomsky, oh, I'm fantasizing about the island, and oh, we're delivering the beef jerky, and we're shipping your sperm in to get the women pregnant so we can create the babies. We're like, what do they do with the babies? They suck them dry of their blood. And if it's your child, the stem cells are literally hundreds of times better. Okay? That's what's going on. Mad scientist world. We know all about this. We understand it. We know it's at the bottom of the rabbit hole. Blood drinking, Satanism, adrenochrome. It's all true. It's all real. It's all going on. And we know the groups. We know the operations. We know how they behave. And you can't even make this up that Prince Charles says and lives part of the year in Transylvania in the original Dracula castle of Vlad the Impaler, who is the original bloodline. He is who they trace it all back to. In the Carpathian Mountains in Transylvania. And so Bram Stoker's book is fiction about these people. No, they don't live forever. No, they don't combust in the sun. That's the archetype of the truth vaporizes them. But they do want to drink the blood of your babies. That's called a Black Sabbath or a Black Mass. And it's in all the historic black magic texts of what's gone on back to Egypt and before. And it's what King Solomon, by the end, got into. And that's in the official Jewish books about Solomon written after his death. So these people are following something that predates Judaism and Christianity, the old time religion that was practiced in every culture throughout ancient times. And while we can never get a civilization going, every culture, whether it was Arabic or whether it was Asian or whether it was African or whether it was Anglo, every culture did it. And the Middle East, if you study history, has been the epicenter of it. And so here we are, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are. This isn't going away. No one's moving on from this, Levitt. You guys are committing political suicide and giving the actual Satan cult a big win. We're going to break it all down straight ahead. Also, Trump just signed an executive order on glyphosate. Yes, glyphosate. It's what's for dinner.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leon Black, the billionaire co-founder of Apollo Global Management, has long been tied to the Jeffrey Epstein scandal through massive payments and a close association that he himself has called a horrible mistake. Yet he shelled out $62.5 million in 2023 to the U.S. Virgin Islands to settle and avoid any potential claims tied to Epstein's operations there, where some of those funds indirectly supported Epstein's island empire.
The headline should be Leon Black paid Jeffrey Epstein $158 million for services over 5 years as like a tax advisor. This is a story of a U.S. billionaire paying a convicted sex offender hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, with the lending, it brings in $200 million into Jeffrey Epstein. And the report found that he visited Epstein's home in New York multiple times and his other homes around the world as well. In order to, like, what, cut his tax bill by $1 or $2 billion, which even that strikes me as concerning.
The leaked document from the Epstein files from 2026 DOJ releases consists of heavily redacted attorney notes from a May 2023 call. Multiple women accused Black of violent rape, often under the guise of massages. One described 7 to 8 years of sadistic abuse, including vaginal biting, causing excruciating pain and bleeding. Another claimed a brutal assault with head slamming. A third, a developmentally disabled 16-year-old girl with autism and mosaic Down syndrome, alleged trafficking by Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, forced to massage Black naked, then violently raped, causing severe rectal and vaginal injuries. Of course, Black has vehemently denied all involvement, calling the accusations baseless, uncorroborated, insisting he's never met certain accusers. And now the outrage is exploding nationwide because LifeTouch, the company behind school pictures for countless American kids across the country, is owned by Shutterfly, which Apollo Global Management controls through its funds.
The rumors have caused concern among parents around.
No one really thought anything of it until we started thinking about, okay, wait, who actually is seeing these pictures instead of just the parents?
LifeTouch, too, has responded, releasing a statement which reads in part, LifeTouch is not named in the Epstein files. The documents contain no allegations that LifeTouch itself was involved in or that student photos were used in any illicit activities.
You want to know who owns those photos, and that's typically done by contract, and what can be done with the photos later between you and the photographer.
Stephen Clark is a South Bay-based attorney. He says it's important to read the fine print on consent forms for things like school photo shoots. Tech expert Ahmed Banafa agrees, especially given the chance of a data breach.
About 5 million pictures being sold on the dark web in 2023.
Meanwhile, in the latest torrent of Epstein documents, Woody Allen and Jess Staley emerge as another grotesque thread in the financier's web of influence. Allen pops up repeatedly in scheduling logs and emails, with Epstein even paying $15,000 for their kids' elite private school tuition. Emails between Woody Allen and Epstein reveal a conversation about cannibalism. Epstein says he didn't just cause heartburn, he ate them. Epstein says hearts. Then Allen says, thanks. Allen says, at least I'm thinner. Epstein says, because you also eat the bones, providing fiber. Allen says, I don't like waste. Staley, the former J.P. Morgan rainmaker turned Barclays CEO, exchanged over 1,000 emails, some laced with creepy Disney princess references and young women's photos.
And so the New World Order is in deep trouble. They're basically done. And we should focus on the files we're suppressing. We should focus on the cover-up, but also focus on what we got.
A financial kingpin, a predator banker, and a legendary filmmaker, all orbiting the same twisted world of Jeffrey Epstein. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Hello, boys and girls. I have a special message for you from the President of the United States.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
And we are, as a people, inherently and historically, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
Ron Guide in our newsroom, and there has been an attempt that perhaps you know now on the life of President Kennedy.
The initial attack on the destroyer Maddox on August 2nd was repeated today.
Psychological warfare operations went into high gear.
Retaliation for this unprovoked attack on the high seas, our forces have struck the bases used by the North Vietnamese patrol craft.
It would allow the president to wage war in Vietnam.
Just run and scare.
Each plane. In 1976, Flight 455, which took off from Venezuela bound for Cuba, suddenly exploded. All 73 passengers and 5 crew members aboard died after the plane crashed near Barbados.
William Colby has been missing since April 27. His canoe was found washed up on the banks of the Wicomico River April 28.
He's missing and presumed drowned after an apparent boat.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad.
I've always felt the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
All right, what is the Trilateral Commission?
It's an organization founded in 1973 by David Rockefeller.
What they're really up to is a scheme to plant their own loyal members in positions of power in this country, to work to erase national boundaries, create an international community, and in time, bring about a one-world government with David Rockefeller calling the shots.
I understand he was tapped for Skull and Bones.
Tapped for it? Sir, he founded Skull and Bones.
It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad.
We have got to fight, Theodore. It's not going to be easy. Well, I'll assure you this. We can't.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I'm Miranda Morello, filling in for
Oh man, it's today kind of a chaotic news day. Many of you woke up to the news that there was an Epstein-related arrest, except it didn't happen here in the United States. It actually happened in the UK, strangely enough. Prince Andrew has officially been arrested. Now, the details regarding his arrest are very vague. It's in suspicion of misconduct of public office. That's what we're hearing right now from the reports on the ground. But folks, who would have thought that the UK, which has been taken over by Islamists, is a place you'd see the very first major Epstein arrest? Quite strange, right? They've allowed the rapes of young girls and women in their country, but now they're stepping in regards to these Epstein files that have now been released. Obviously, we're keeping our eye to all of this. And as many of you guys know, Alex is fired up on the issue. This is something he's been screaming about for quite some time now. As many of you guys know, Prince Andrew was all over the Epstein files. Even recently, we've seen the new images of him over the body of a young girl, what appears to be. Her face was redacted. Again, redactions are supposed to include the victims. So one assumed that this might be a sexual assault survivor. And it seems like this girl is passed out. Now, obviously, Prince Andrew will never sit there and tell you that he was a part of the child rape going on. And even the king himself putting out a statement in regards to all of this. The royal family thought they could avoid this, but it looks like they haven't. Saying that, "I have learned with the deepest concern about the news regarding Prince Andrew," who's no longer Prince Andrew, of course, "about the suspicion of misconduct in public office." Now again, folks, this is something that has been ongoing for quite some time, years. In fact, the royal family was the one who loaned Prince Andrew the funds to settle claims against one of his other accusers. So what's going on here? Why all of a sudden is the UK leading all of this now? And again, we've been talking about the Epstein files extensively here, but for some reason, our own federal government can't give us any actual charges, prosecutions. But over in the UK, they're taking this very, very seriously, it looks like. Again, obviously, I'm not going to jump the gun on here. Oh, by the way, quite strange. It is also his 66th birthday, Prince Andrew I'm referring to here. So obviously this is big, big news coming into the newsroom right now, and we're keeping our eye on all things related to this. But folks, this has been something we've been screaming about for years now. Why all of a sudden has this changed? Why? You know, James O'Keefe, I want to play this clip for you. This could be clip two. James O'Keefe has been talking about this extensively for years, but most importantly, he actually got his hands on some great audio that comes to us from an individual who was labeled as the royal family advisor, who openly admits that Prince Andrew was, in fact, raping children. Take a listen.
Prince Andrew was in the Navy. He was 250 days at sea. He never saw his family. I was really pissed because he lied to me. Epstein. And then I did a big thing in the Daily Mail saying that I believed Andrew. And then I found out he was lying. I was so pissed. No, he was f***ing girls.
Obviously, as many of you guys know, this is something we've had our eye on. And James O'Keefe, again, was trying to sound the alarm on this. This was something that we've all known. It's been happening right in front of our own eyes. Again, that is someone who's claiming that he knows that Prince Andrew was raping children. Now, again, these are claims that he denies personally. But folks, you're not going to get anyone to actually admit this. And in fact, if that doesn't do enough for you, if that doesn't sell you on all of this, I wanted to make sure that we highlighted the fact that all these Epstein files that were coming out, all of the, I strongly agree that the White House handled it wrong, completely wrong. It's been a PR nightmare for the White House and DOJ. President Trump has been right about a lot of this. And in clip 13, you're going to hear what he had to say about all of this. Actually, it's not clip 13. Sorry, guys. There's a clip where, clip 14, back in 2015, where President Trump specifically calls out Prince Andrew and the many appearances that he allegedly made over at Epstein Island. Take a listen.
You raised the question of Jeffrey Epstein in your remarks about in the Q&A.
Well, I think he's got a problem. I mean,
what do you think the problem will be?
I don't know, but that island was really a cesspool. There's no question about it. Just ask Prince Andrew. He'll tell you about it. The island was an absolute cesspool. So.
It was an absolute cesspool, says the future president of the United States, warning the American people what was going to drop. Folks, we have been waiting for this day. This is a historic day. I don't think there's ever been a member of the royal family, and of course they disowned him, but I don't think there's ever been a member of the royal family who has been arrested. They thought they were going to be immune to any prosecution. The people are what brought this about. You know, you can't cover for these pedophiles anymore, or alleged pedophiles, considering he hasn't been convicted in court, unfortunately. These people are evil. They are demonic. And they thought they were going to get away with so much. I keep talking about it on my show. As many of you guys know, I host the American Journal. That's our morning show here on InfoWars. And I keep talking about the accountability tour. We've been hoping and praying, obviously, that that tour kicks off soon. But this administration, although they've released the Epstein files and some of the documents, again, there's a lot of people out there who believe that there's more documents that have not yet been released. And I'll get to that in a little bit. But it's fascinating to sit back and watch all of this play out. Again, we the people are the ones that forced all of this information to come out there, because you at home didn't let up on this. You at home didn't let up on this. And we're not going anywhere anytime soon. We're not going to fall for the next distraction. We have fought long and hard to make sure that these predators will be held accountable, and we're not going to stop anytime soon. The New Mexico property, too, that's the next one that we're all focused on, because there could possibly be bodies, remains buried there. Folks, the accountability tour will kick off. We will make sure of just that. It's also worth noting that Virginia Giuffre, who is one of the Epstein victims, sadly, she allegedly took her own life. That's according to reports. But in clip three, you're going to hear her family react to the news about Prince Andrew's arrest. Take a listen. Three.
Breaking news to bring you now the statement from the family of Virginia Giuffre at last. Today, our broken hearts have been lifted at the news that no one is above the law, not even royalty. On behalf of our sister, Virginia Roberts Giuffre, we extend our gratitude to the UK's Thames Valley Police for their investigation and arrest of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. He was never a prince. For survivors everywhere, Virginia did this for you. Signed, Sky and Amanda Roberts, Danny and Lynette Wilson.
Now, obviously, she's made tons of accusations about Prince Andrew. And so, man, if she was here with us today, that would have probably been a great moment for her. Folks, we're not going anywhere anytime soon. This will continue to be the focus of those looking to fight for the sexual assault survivors. Not only, you know, there's some out there who I know we're very skeptical of, obviously. There's, I think, people who are piggybacking on all of this. They're trying to make it a political thing for Democrats heading into the midterms. And those individuals we'll just ignore for a second here. I want to say that the children who were tortured, justice will come. We're not turning away anytime soon. In fact, the distractions, the efforts to bully those who continue to push for these Epstein files to be released and unredacted, and so we could see the people who were involved in all of this, it's not going anywhere anytime soon. It's not. And it's not just that, too, folks. People like Bill Gates, well, they're really feeling the fire right now. I don't know if you saw this, but Bill Gates, he was supposed to speak at a AI Impact Summit in India. Now, apparently, he's now pulled out of that because, well, we could just assume, based on the emails that we've received so far from the DOJ, it's quite likely that Mr. Bill's trying to avoid making public appearances. Now, there's obviously many reasons for that. Obviously, he who knows that billionaires, by the way, billionaires are just so poor, apparently, where they have to go and hang out with convicted pedophiles in order to get millions of dollars donated to their nonprofits to help save the rest of the world. I mean, that's a stance Bill Gates has on all of this, that he only met with Jeffrey Epstein because he needed money. And Epstein was willing to give him money for his global health efforts. Others, too. The Clintons also saying just that. And other wealthy, wealthy individuals. Reid Hoffman, I believe, also. I played a clip on him, on my show about that. Reid Hoffman, a man is worth, what, north of like $2 billion, claims that he had to meet with Epstein because charitable reasons. Charitable reasons. Billionaires, guys, billionaires. We're not talking about people like you and I. We're talking about billionaires who are using that as their defense. That's how you know they're full of you-know-what. But Bill Gates is not speaking now at the AI Impact Summit. And it's not looking good for Bill. And you know it's not looking good for Bill? Why? Well, because those who maybe don't watch InfoWars, those who are, I'd say, moderate, maybe Republicans at best, are starting to realize who Bill Gates is. In clip four, Jillian Michaels, who obviously is someone who I never thought would be in this space, she's in this space now, and she's actually calling out Bill Gates because, well, she just uncovered something we've been talking about for years. She just uncovered how Bill Gates actually might have manipulated and created the pandemic is kind of the hypothesis. She sounds like she's floating out there. Take a listen to clip four.
Here's the receipt that most people never see. In the late summer of 2019, just months before any of us ever heard the word Wuhan, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation made a $55 million equity investment in a small German biotech company called BioNTech. Now, at the time, BioNTech wasn't even on the radar, right? But then the pandemic hits, the world shuts down. BioNTech partners with Pfizer to roll out the very first mRNA vaccine. Of course, the stock goes nuclear, climbing from $18 a share to over $400 a share. That's a 20x investment. Just that one investment took Gates' $55 million to $1.1 billion. So ask yourself, what would a philanthropist do? Hold the stock, donate the shares, use the leverage to make the vaccine free and open to the world, but not Bill. Do you know any charity that operates like a hedge fund? It's insane.
Yeah, you know why? It's not a real charity. In fact, if you were to go to the website right now, that press release is still up there right now. All you have to do is look at it yourself. Talks about how there was this $55 million investment, of course, into infectious diseases. And that investment could also go up to about $100 million in total funding. Ain't that something? Folks, they're not even hiding this. It just takes a couple of brain cells to go find this for yourself. And I'd highly recommend you, the people, do your research. They put this information out there. It is in front of your face. Go look. If anyone in your life is telling you, oh, Brianna, or oh, whoever, you know, you are a conspiracy theorist. Bill Gates is a good person. He's trying to help society. Connect the dots. Because that press release came out, and then shortly after, the pandemic happened. You don't have to be a genius to connect those dots. Folks, I want to remind you to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We are very, very excited to have an incredible, I guess you could say it's a contest going on right now. When you shop at thealexjonesstore.com, you are entering to win some very cool prizes. We've got two cars up on the website right now, as well as $20,000 in cash. It's a great investment. You could get the Ford Mustang possibly, and other things up on the website right now. So head on over. Every time you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, you enter to win this contest. And for every dollar you spend, you get about 100 entries into this. Again, folks, we have 2 days left. So not only when you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com are you supporting us and our efforts here in this information war, and everyone else is waking up now, but you're also supporting yourselves. It's a great investment. If you could potentially win that $20,000 in cash and two cars, you're never going to find this anywhere else. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We have incredible supplements, especially those energy shots. I can't stop talking about them. I do it every morning. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you snag these deals. You also get a free hat with every order.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Now look here, even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements. Sometimes we have BOGO Sups. We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get 1 or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I am Brianna Morello filling in for Alex today, and a lot is happening over here, so we're excited you're dropping on board with us today. But I want to make sure that we caught you up on all things going on, not only, you know, here, obviously, but in Washington, D.C. as well. A lot's happening there. President Trump obviously declaring war on those that are trying to smuggle fatal drugs into the United States. This is something that he has been committed to during his campaign, and obviously now he's trying to carry through that campaign promise. And so he's putting all the right people in charge to make sure that these drug cartels aren't funneling these fatal drugs into the United States, something that the Biden regime, of course, refused to do. Yesterday, in case you missed it, the White House drug czar, Sarah Carter, led a roundtable discussion at the White House, bringing together representations from all different types of social media entities like Meta, TikTok, X, YouTube, and other groups as well. Now, they're trying to get a grip on all things related to the drug smuggling that's been going on for many, many years in this country right now. And they obviously put out this this press release. But one of the big points to all of this, too, and I think we need to start talking about it more often, is the fatal drugs, but most importantly, the counterfeit pills, the fentanyl-laced products that have been smuggled into this country for far too long. Thousands and thousands of Americans have lost their lives in all of this. And it's been absolutely devastating, absolutely devastating. But again, this administration is taking on that fight, something that the Biden regime failed to do. Joining me now to discuss is a man who is in this fight and helping the Trump administration carry out that campaign commitment. Please welcome to the show Victor Avila. He is the assistant director of the Office of Drug Czar, and he's with us now to discuss all things related to that. He's also a retired HSI special agent as well. And Victor, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm so excited to be talking to you right now about this, because this is something that this administration is hyper-focused on right now, flushing out the fatal drugs that have made their way into this country and going after the cartels directly. As many of our audience just heard, you know, Sarah Carter has been doing great job at leading the group, leading your efforts into doing just that. Yesterday, you guys had the round table. Tell us a little bit about that.
Great to be with you, Brianna, in my new position here. And yeah, it was a success. It was bringing together the private sector and these companies that run these platforms, these social media platforms that we know that all of us, including our children, are heavily using. Mm-hmm. And who's also using them? The bad guys, right? The cartels and their networks pushing not only just fentanyl, illicit drugs, but many other types of drugs through these social media apps and platforms that at one point even get them delivered to your doorstep. And what's happening is that is equaling the amounts of deaths that we have seen. It is a loophole, if you will, that the cartels have exploited for such a long time. So we want to get together where it's an enhanced coordination between law enforcement, the government, the private sector, to bring all of us together to discuss how we're going to combat this issue. It is a big issue. We've dealt with the southern border. We've dealt international. We're dealing with all that. But let's not forget about how it's occurring within our borders and the consumption problem. Yes, there's a demand issue. We understand that. But aside from this, there's an education aspect to this, right? We need to inform the parents. We need to inform educators, coaches, anyone involved in these kids' lives, that to tell them that there is a problem here, a potential risk, a potential death risk of you buying something online that you don't know what it is, whether it's an Adderall and a Percocet or whatever type of drug that they think that they're getting. According to the DEA, 5 out of those 10 pills contain an illicit fentanyl poisoning substance in there that could kill you. And, you know, they take these phones in their rooms and they have full access to them, more than us as parents have. And so we need to really monitor that. And we're going to, we reached out to these platforms, and they're very, very cooperative in wanting to combat them. They understand that their platforms are being used for this. But so now they're coming around and saying, how can we be part of the solution?
Victor, what are some of the warning signs that parents need to be on high alert about when it comes to all of this? Because obviously it's concerning that they're possibly being exposed to this, but what can parents look out for?
Well, I remember there's a lot of things you have to be looking at. Actually, just the number one thing is you have to be aware. Mm-hmm. You have to be paying attention to what your child is doing. You have to be, actually go in there. Depending on the age and age appropriateness of, you know, password protected and access to certain of these, the apps, there's a lot that the parents could do. And, you know, I'm not a big, you know, helicopter parent type of be like that, but mm-hmm. we're talking about life and death here. And, a lot of these cases that we've heard, and I'll share one that the director shared yesterday, where, 13-year-old's, a friend and her daughter, the husband, the father of one of the 13-year-olds was cooking dinner for them. She had come over, the friend, and he was cooking dinner for them, and they got the drugs delivered to their front door. When he called them to dinner, he didn't get a response, went to their room, and they were both dead, 13-year-olds, because they took what they thought was going to be a Percocet, and it wasn't. And we have thousands of those unfortunate stories that we deal in this office of the ONDCP with the parents, we call them angel parents, that have lost their loved ones to an illegal poisoning. And so we have plenty of examples and plenty of cases out there to remind everyone that, in fact, this is a real problem. These are real deaths. These are real circumstances happening on a daily basis. Now, the good news is that we're trending downwards here. The numbers just came out a couple of weeks ago. We're down to 72,000 deaths. That's nothing to cheer about, but at least it's not over 100,000 that we saw under the Biden administration. So we are what we're doing and the efforts are starting to work, but it's going to require more time and more cooperation from everyone involved.
Yeah, and that's a big part in all of this. And for our audience, too, if they're not familiar with you, Victor, I just want to tell them, I mean, obviously, I've known you. We've spoken quite some time now. We've done several interviews throughout the years, but you've done an incredible job at not just your current role right now with the administration, but this is something that you've taken on first. You obviously are retired, as I mentioned in the open, HSI agent, special agent, but you got face-to-face with these drug cartels, and you did end up getting into a shootout with them, which resulted in you getting injured because you were shot, and sadly your partner, you know, passed away as well. And this is something that the American people to know. You are speaking from a position of experience. You know how bad these things are going to get, and I want to highlight that for our audience, because this is something that we can't let up on. These drug cartels were able to run across our country and take full advantage under the Biden regime, and this is something that needs to be hyper-focused on. Sarah Carter, the director, obviously, of the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, weighed in yesterday, actually, on the Mexico angle to all of this, because President Trump has put Mexico as well as Colombia on notice. We'll get to Colombia in a second, but let's play that clip of her interview yesterday in clip 10. Take a listen.
You've covered the cartels for many, many years. They are now considered narco-terrorist organizations, according to the president. The president has expressed displeasure with Mexican president over her lack of getting the cartels under control. He has not ruled out land strikes. Can you give us any updates on the cooperation with Mexico?
President Trump has been very clear. The cartels' days are numbered. It's over for them. I've made this very clear myself. President Sheinbaum understands this. This is no secret. And I think the cooperation, we're seeing cooperation now. We know that President Sheinbaum and President Trump have a good relationship. They have spoken a number of times. I think the pressure right now on her and her government to work as well to clean up the cancer that has infected the Western Hemisphere. President Trump was very clear with one of the best operations we have ever seen our Department of War conduct, which was extracting Maduro and getting him out of Venezuela. And now we're cleaning up the Western Hem. Yeah. And Claudia Sheinbaum is going to be a part of that. Now, that's going to take some negotiating. But I can tell you this, President Trump has said this, bilateral, unilateral, we're going to do it if they don't.
All right, so they're obviously, you guys are forcing the hand of the Mexican president right now, but it's not just that either. The Colombian president is also responding to this administration, and earlier this month did actually meet with President Trump. They spoke in regards to all of this. Now, President Trump did say that the Colombian president and their personal meeting was terrific. What are you guys expecting from these world leaders in regards to combating the drugs that are being flooded into the United States right now? What are the expectations currently with this administration?
The expectations are very, very high, Brianna. And let me tell you, there, in the case of Colombia, you could see the them react after the Maduro was arrested, and they all of a sudden we started seeing seizures, huge cocaine seizures coming from directly from Colombia. But that's a positive step, right? This is, like you said, this is the pressure that the United States is putting on these countries, because we know the source countries, we know the cartels are headquartered in Mexico. We know that they're present in the U.S. pushing these illicit substances all over our communities. And the pressure is working. Now, I could tell you, I worked in Mexico in my career, and you mentioned what I went through. And I could tell you that I've seen Mexico do a lot that I had never seen them do before. Seizures, arrest, sending, and extraditing people, to our country. But nevertheless, it's not enough. They have to up the game, because these cartels have taken a stronghold, especially in Mexico. They basically control, the movement of that country, especially when it comes to the money and the power. So there's a lot more to be done there, but at least the cooperation is there. I know that our law enforcement partners now with the Department of War, and why is the Department of War involved? Because remember, these organizations are now declared foreign terrorist organizations. We're talking about terrorist organizations. So when you start combining all these other efforts and our tools that we were never able to use before, now not only in Mexico, outside of Mexico, on the border, I was with the Director Carter in El Paso, Texas, and met with our military partners there in Department of War. So it is coming together. It's hard to do it. You know, I think people want to change immediately. It's happening. It's going to take some more time. There's a lot of diplomacy involved as well in dealing with these countries, but you're going to start seeing some significant improvements.
Yeah, and I think the point that we've been able to open up the avenue of communications with these countries, especially Mexico, given the fact that, like you mentioned, I mean, you and I have talked about this previously. The cartels obviously really do run a lot of these governments, unfortunately. And so, you could just see that based on the shootings that are involved and these candidates who do run and they don't get the blessing of the cartels. It's something that obviously is devastating news, but dozens and dozens of candidates are killed in these countries all the time. And so there's quite amount of power that these cartels have. So the fact that they've opened up this avenue of communication, I think, is really telling of what the administration is working on right now. Before you go, though, I did want to get your take on this. I want to also play this other clip, clip 11 from Sarah Carter as well, because she's doing an incredible job, again, at combating all these drugs. But I thought it was interesting. She laid out something that I actually haven't even heard about, how Alaska plays into this drug war. Take a listen.
That the Trump administration is proactively hunting down those who threaten Alaska, rather than waiting for those threats to arrive. During just 10 days of this surge, we seized enough fentanyl to have killed about 2.3 million people. We also seized an additional 115 pounds of other illegal drugs, all in just the span of 10 days. But whether it is by mail, sea, air, or land, we will stop them. This will be achieved by empowering Alaska's state, local, and tribal law enforcement agencies through cooperation with federal law enforcement. There will be no place for these cartels to operate when we are done with them. We will hunt them in the mail. We will hunt them at the border. And we will hunt them in the labs abroad where this poison is made.
Okay, can you give us some background in regards to how Alaska is being utilized by these drug smugglers and how it might possibly be an easy target right now?
Absolutely, and thanks for mentioning this, because this is a result of our first visit back in August of last year, where we went and toured Alaska. And why did we go do that? Because they were being overrun. Alaska has, a 780,000 population and a tremendous amount of land, and they were just being devastated by fentanyl poisoning. And how are they getting it in Alaska? In these rural locations, we have to take airplanes and Cessna airplanes to get to different locations and villages. Well, it's the cartels. The Sinaloa cartel sending it through the airport and the mail system. Yes, the mail system, the old-fashioned mail system, getting delivered to their front door. Kind of what we talked about with social media. And so the cartels have exploited every single angle. And in this case, Alaska has seen a very, very noticeable because of the amounts of people there that in the rural areas. So we just didn't go and did a tour. We went and did something about it. So this clip that you played is a result of a surge done at these choke points at the airport and especially at the mail facility there. And of course, what happened is they seized a tremendous amount of drugs. And this is only the beginning. I could tell you, Brianna, that it's Alaska was kind of like the first kind of give them a relief of what everything that they were going through, but also sends a message to the cartels that we're going to be monitoring the mail system as well. And we're talking about the private ones as well as UPS and the other ones. And so now we're wanting to expand this throughout the United States and make sure that these facilities are not used to get their illicit drugs. A lot of it, obviously, fentanyl, but they're also sending methamphetamine and other drugs as well.
It's absolutely horrifying, Victor. I've never heard what was going on in Alaska, so I've learned something new today. But you guys are doing an incredible job, again, at trying to combat all of this. You know, so many Americans, their lives will be saved, and we're very thankful for that. So, Victor, thank you for joining us today. We greatly appreciate it. I know you're a very busy man, so it's an honor to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Folks, that's Victor Avila. Make sure you give him a follow on X as well. Victor Avila TX. That's where you could find him on Twitter. He's doing incredible work. And so many over there at the Drug Czar's office are doing great work. And it's an honor, obviously, to have him on the show today and to speak out on these issues. All right, folks, let's take things back to Israel for a moment here. You may have seen the story, and I'm going to give you overview of both sides in this argument. Yesterday, the Daily Mail published an article claiming that Tucker Carlson was detained while trying to leave the Tel Aviv airport. Now, obviously, this caught the attention of many, and, you know, I happened to share the story because, well, this is what Tucker Carlson's saying happened to him. This is his perspective. He claimed to the Daily Mail that a man who apparently identified themselves or men who identified themselves at the airport as airport security took our passports, hauled our executive producer into a side room, and then demanded to know what we spoke about when he spoke with the ambassador, which is Mike Huckabee. And he said it was bizarre, but we're now out of the country. Now, the Daily Mail initially was claiming that Tucker was, quote, detained in Israel. Now, as many of you guys know, Tucker Carlson's been very outspoken over the recent last few months about Israel. And it's been very controversial. Now, again, it's worth noting that those claims are being disputed. We'll get to what Israel is saying in response to all of this. But Mike Huckabee, the U.S. ambassador for Israel, is also responding. And again, from my understanding, I think that was the purpose of him being there in the first place, was to be speaking with Huckabee, trying to create some middle ground in all of this. But Huckabee put up a post yesterday saying everyone who comes in and out of Israel, every country for that matter, has passports checked routinely, asked security questions. Even me, going in and out with a diplomatic passport and a diplomatic visa. So Mike Huckabee is disputing a little bit of the detained narrative here. And so is Israel. Israel is denying these claims. Israel apparently told the Daily Mail that they didn't think it was true. They didn't think it was true. So this is what's going back and forth. Obviously, Tucker's making claims to the Daily Mail. And I don't think he even used the word detained. I think that was the Daily Mail doing just that. But if they somehow dispute it, and this is what I'm all on board for, let's have open discussions. But most importantly, if you dispute it, put the information out there. Let's see the footage. It's an airport. There's security footage everywhere. There's cameras everywhere. We all know that. We live in a surveillance world, global world at this point. If they tend to think that's different, okay, let's see it. Let's see it. Now, I would also argue it's probably likely, right, if you're Israel, you wouldn't even want Tucker in your country. If this is the case, if you think that he was detained, why would you want him there in the first place? So probably on his way in is when you would get him. But again, we haven't seen any physical evidence to prove either side of all of this. I just thought it was quite interesting to see it back and forth. And then also to see the people who were fired up yesterday on X for me simply reporting what the Daily Mail was reporting. This is the problem, though, for both sides. They just go too far. Where anyone who's even just saying what the facts are of a story, and I guess I shouldn't say facts, what the perspective of a story is, they jump on you. They jump on you. That's why I don't really care for either side of the argument at this point. Let's talk a little bit about Iran. Not sure if you guys saw this, but things obviously, and we talk about it all the time on the American Journal as well, are obviously starting to heat up between the United States and Iran. And again, this is all tied up with Israel, of course. Earlier today, the Prime Minister in Poland, Donald Tusk, actually put out a warning to Polish citizens who may be in Iran. He's telling them to immediately leave. Here was the local reporting, clip 5.
Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk has in the last few minutes said that all Polish people who are in Iran should leave the country immediately. He said that in a few hours' time, there may be no more possibility to evacuate Poles from Iran. Donald Tusk telling all Polish nationals to get out of the country as soon as they can. This, of course, comes as talks between the US and Iran this week have now come to an end, and the US continues to have a huge military presence in the region. Donald Trump threatened for many weeks that there would be a strike on Iran if those talks did not achieve what he wanted.
All right, obviously, the president has been pushing for peace talks between Iran and the United States. And apparently, according to reports, we're nowhere near an agreement. So obviously, this is all concerning. And we, the people, don't want to see us get into a full-blown war with Iran. Keep in mind, folks, we still have sleeper cells in this country. So I know a lot of people out there were arguing that, you know, Iran wouldn't be able to even combat any attack that's made on the ground over there. The reality is, folks, is we know for a fact that they are here already. We need to tread lightly on this issue. We've seen a massive shift of military equipment being sent over to the Middle East, as many of you guys know. We see the public push that's being made between, well, Israel, trying to nudge us closer and closer to going to war with Iran. every day. And he's been saying this, Benjamin Netanyahu has been saying this for years now. Oh, we're getting closer. Iran's getting ready to strike the United States. It's been a fear-mongering campaign that's been going on for far too long. But now the UK apparently is blocking the United States from using their British bases. According to reports, they are afraid that there might be some legal concerns regarding the United States utilizing those bases. Again, they're blocking or withholding permission, according to reports. Now, again, obviously this is concerning, and obviously this is something that has been spoken about quite often by the Israeli Prime Minister. But again, he just today put out another warning. He issued another warning to Iran, saying they will face a response that they cannot even imagine. And that's a direct quote. He made this statement during a televised address at a military ceremony for the IDF. And it's very, very likely that he's going to make right on all of that, folks. I mean, I was going back. Somebody had put together a bunch of clips of Benjamin Netanyahu threatening, well, telling us, the American people, that we are the ones who are going to be at risk soon, that we might potentially be attacked by Iran soon. And based on what's going on right now, we haven't deported or wrapped up any of these sleeper cells, folks. Yeah, they've gone a couple. I've seen the reports of a couple, but we have so many that we don't even know about. I've reported exclusively that the Biden regime intentionally did not fix the security cameras along our border because they didn't want us knowing how many people were coming into this country. This is a national security threat, obviously. And the fact that not a single person from the Biden regime has been arrested and is currently being prosecuted for what they've done to this country tells you everything you need to know right now. This isn't fear-mongering. This is a warning of preparation that needs to take place. I could promise you that there are sleeper cells all across this country. They were strategically placed in certain areas. And I know previously we've reported about the Pentagon having to shoot down a drone in El Paso. That should also be very concerning for you. Think about how easy it would be for those sleeper cells to build drones and having them fly around our country. It's very obvious based on the Chinese spy balloon and other things that we've seen up in the sky that we can't really control our own, obviously, air. So our airspace is deeply, deeply affected by all of this. So again, this isn't fear-mongering. This isn't supposed to, but this is, you better be ready. You better be ready. Folks, we got more to discuss in just a few moments. We've got a great lineup of guests also joining the show. I will have someone in studio in just a moment. Lila Hart will be joining us. She's a comedian, and also she's made an incredible documentary about election fraud. Surprise, surprise. Remember, people weren't allowed to talk about that. But we'll be talking about that with her in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Right now, there's only 48 hours left in that contest that we're doing right now. For every dollar you spend at the shop, you get 100 entries to potentially win two cars and $20,000 in cash. Head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. It's a great investment in both your health and financial future.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexShowStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All you have to do is check out what I'm saying, and that's why they run the fake headline against myself and Tucker Carlson everywhere, every day. Jones admits he's an actor. Or Tucker Carlson says nobody would take me seriously. Where did we say that? We never said that. They just say we said that. But where's the clip? Where's the article? Where do we say that? Doesn't exist.
Alex Jones is playing a character and is a performance artist.
Jones is playing a character on his radio show.
The radio rants of Alex Jones are just an act.
He's actually a performance artist.
He's a performance artist. Alex Jones is a fake.
They're lying to you because they think you're stupid. And it's all based on custody battle with my ex-wife 5 years ago, and she was trying to put into evidence me dressed up more than a decade before like the Joker, being sarcastic, saying, take your Prozac, kids, take your illegal drugs too, you'll die, it's fun, so people wouldn't take drugs. And they wanted to enter that in evidence. They, look, he's insane telling kids to use drugs. And my lawyer went, when Jack Nicholson plays the part of the Joker, no one thinks that's really Jack Nicholson. So, yeah, when I've been Cobra Commander.
Hail Cobra!
Or Optimus Prime.
Autobots, let's roll!
Or the Joker, because I can do imitations of them all really good. Or Darth Vader.
Don't act so surprised, globalist. You didn't think you could silence the American people, did you?
Do I really think I'm Darth Vader? No. Do I think I'm Optimus Prime? Cobra Commander, the Joker? No. And clearly, no reasonable person would think when I'm doing satire that what I'm saying is what I really think. No one believes the Babylon Bee. It's not trying to lie to you. It's being sarcastic.
Buy the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll today. It's required by the CDC.
But they play those games. And that's why I don't joke around as much as I used to. Even though I tell people, okay, this is a joke. This isn't serious. They clip it out and they say, no, this is what he really believes.
Every day when I leave work, I do this.
That man's a threat to this country. And they go, look, he admitted in court he's an actor. Well, yeah, I was an actor in Scanner Darkly. I was an actor in Waking Life. I was an actor when I was Cobra Commander. But it doesn't mean that Alex Jones, the talk show host, up here reading news articles to you, isn't a real thing and isn't something I'm actually saying. And you know that. You're insulted right now. I'm even explaining that to you. And so am I. But that's who these people are.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Am I really Darth Vader?
I think Alex Jones seems really talented. He's smart. He's funny as hell. He's truly funny.
I'm kind of retarded.
That I've done those imitations, those little jokes, do you now not listen to what I say about other things when I show you a powerful news article by Dr. Joseph Mercola on Infowars.com that has all the cited information, the latest tragedy, sudden adult death syndrome? No, that's a real thing. That's something happening in the real world. And that's what we're breaking down here today. I am Alex Jones, and I am the guy on this show every day. I am an American, and that's what I promote, is freedom and justice and liberty, and they can't stand it.
pesky Earth creatures.
And it's time for humanity to stand up in the info war and say, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but you want to fight? You better believe you've got one!
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Found it, a tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I am Brianna Morello, filling in for Alex. Actually, Alex will be on later in the day, but for right now, I'm running the ship. We've got a great guest sitting with me right now in studio, a good friend of mine, Lila Hart, joining us right now. She's an incredible comedian. And also, she made a great film that we're going to talk about, too. It's American History of Voter Fraud. And, Lila, that was something that we weren't allowed to talk about years ago, but here we are now in 2026 talking about just that. Before we start that discussion, though, I wanted to get to this clip because it's on everyone's minds now. We want to stop election fraud. I never thought this was going to be the case. Well, everyone who's not a rhino, I should say. In clip 16, the White House actually spoke out yesterday about the SAVE Act and why they want to make this a top priority to push it through the Senate. Take a listen.
Well, as the president said in that Truth Social post, he's discussing and exploring legal options for a potential executive order with respect to voter ID. But this is something he's made very clear he wants Congress to get done. The Save America Act is a common sense piece of legislation that has now passed the House of Representatives to ensure that voter ID is a requirement in the United States of America. This is a common sense policy that nearly 90% of the country agrees with. You need an ID to go and purchase alcohol. You need an ID to go to the library and check out a book. And so the president thinks you should have an ID to vote in our nation's elections. And I know the vast majority of Americans agree with him on that. And he wants Congress to move and move quickly to get it done.
All right. Well, it's so crazy for me to say, but requiring voter ID, Lila, is something that most Americans do actually. So you have the polls, even Rasmussen reports polling both sides of this, both Democrats and Republicans. And it's every poll, it's north of 80% of Americans agree you should have to show voter ID. But for some reason, those sneaky little Democrats who no one ever knows how they continue to get elected are the ones who are pushing back on all of this. And it's not just them, too. We have some rhinos, too, in the Senate who are also refusing to get in line and require, at the federal level, voter ID. Your reaction to the White House's push of the Save America Act?
It's exactly what she said. It should be common sense that you have your ID to be able to vote. I mean, you use your ID in every other circumstance. And for those who are against it, it is very suspicious as to why you wouldn't want people to present their ID that they're an American citizen and they should be showing that in order to be able to vote.
Yeah, and that's the crazy part in all of this, because we watched as Democrats flooded this country with millions and millions of illegal aliens. And as a result of all that, most of us understood, like, okay, this is their future voter base. And that's why they strategically placed them throughout the Midwest and places, rural areas, where you normally wouldn't see these illegal aliens kind of settling in. You'd see them in big cities, but you wouldn't really see them in farm country, in places like that. So it was very concerning, but it was also strategic, because this is obviously a takeover of our country, of our election system. And how do we weed Americans? How do we weed the voice of the American people out? Because even Democratic voters, I mean, they're waking up, they're flipping sides, they're not looking to support this party anymore. And it's very, very obvious of that. Democrats even see it. So now we are in a place, and you've made a film about this. It's actually available on band.video, folks at home. Again, it's called American History of Voter Fraud. You've made this film where you're highlighting just that. And now it's being picked up in the mainstream. By the way, Fulton County also getting raided in regards to allegations of election fraud possibly there. Let's talk about the normalization now that we're able to have these. Obviously, I'm not delusional. I know that those on the left don't want us talking about it, and they do what they can. But we're able to have these conversations about election fraud now, and it's completely different from what happened in the past.
Well, thank God we're able to have these conversations now. But back in 2020, 2021, and most of 2022, you weren't allowed to talk about these things. And if you did post about it or make any reference to it, you would get banned, you would get silenced. So thank God for InfoWars and the fact that here we are able to speak our minds and talk about it. But yes, the film is called American History of Voter Fraud. I made it with myself and my husband, Eric Avenante, who is very passionate about this issue. For me especially, I woke up in 2020 when they did the push for the mail-in ballots. When I was living in Los Angeles, we actually got nine ballots sent to our house that I could have easily filled out and not been questioned. So imagine how many people all over the country that happened to.
Okay, so California is a hub for this right now. In fact, the DOJ, the Civil Rights Division, was suing. They just lost. I'm sure they're going to appeal it, though. They've been trying to get from blue and red states, too, folks. This is why I'm saying it's not just Democrats who are looking to carry this out. This is also Republicans as well. So the Civil Rights Division had to sue several states for their voter rolls because they want to see who's on the voter rolls. And California recently challenged it. There were three states, California being involved, and they actually so far have won that challenge. Now, I'm sure, again, it's going to be appealed, and it's going to be a long legal battle, but they're one of the many states. Nick Shirley is actually on the ground in California, and he's been knocking on doors asking simple questions. And there was one clip, because he played it on my show, there's one clip of Nick Shirley talking to someone. I think it might have been, I know it was in California, but I think it might have been in L.A., and he's outside of, like, I believe it was a UPS store, and there was multiple people registered at that UPS store to vote. But there's, like, P.O. boxes. It's not, like, actual people living at the UPS store. And this liberal comes by, and she's like, what are you guys talking about? And he's like, we're talking about how there's, like, multiple people registered to vote here. And she's like, I don't want to talk about the MAGA narrative. And, like, storms off. But, I mean, Lila, this is, like, this is common sense. We're dealing with a time right now where you have people, and it's, California's the hub, I'll let you speak to it, where California has people registered to vote who are dead, I mean, people over 100 years old, and people who don't even live inside of P.O. boxes.
I mean, this really shouldn't be a Democrat or a Republican issue. It should be an everybody issue. And why wouldn't you want people to be able to show their ID and be able to vote that way? You need your ID to be able to drive on the road, be able to get a library card, to be able to rent a car. I mean, it's pretty simple here, but for some reason, I can't believe there is still even any kind of pushback for people who wouldn't want to have your ID.
Yeah. Well, Lila, here's the other thing too. By the way, Lila is a great comedian, folks, and I've got her wearing her Serious News hat right now. We spoke about this prior to the show. I was like, yeah, I kind of do a Serious News show, but we could laugh about this. You know, Elizabeth Warren, many of you guys know, she is the, she's one of the most famous Native Americans we've ever had in this country. Elizabeth Warren was grilled by Lindell TV reporter, one of the Lindell TV reporters. And in this conversation, she says that one of her reasons why she can't support this new requirement through the Save America Act is because women who apparently were just so dumb and were unable to change over identification, change over key pieces of our IDs. She claimed that women who get married are not going to be able to vote that they're actually going to be left out of the election process, which I think wouldn't be a bad idea. But they're going to be left out of the election process because they need their birth certificates to match their voter IDs or their driver's licenses. And women who get married and change their last names, well, they can't do that. Are women dumb enough to, or just, are women dumb, we should just say, where we're incapable of being able to go out there and get the proper identification to be able to vote?
I mean, I think it's rather insulting for her to even insinuate that it would be difficult for a woman to do that. If you are smart enough to be able to get married and to change your last name, then why would it be so difficult for you to be able to get the proper documentation to vote?
Yeah.
And I think you should be insulted. It, for her to even insinuate that you would be stupid enough to not be able to do it.
Yeah, well, don't worry. Women voters everywhere will continue to vote for people like Elizabeth Warren, as they always do. It's so frustrating, folks. It really is so frustrating. I sit back and I watch this all, and I'm like, they were doing this to minorities originally, too, right? They were all talking about black voters. No, black voters can't get IDs. Come on, guys. And then they go after Donald Trump, and I'll play a clip later, too, in the show. Donald Trump's a racist because he's requiring voter ID. And when that didn't work out, because obviously black Americans do have driver's licenses. In fact, you need an ID to walk around this country. When that didn't work out, now they're shifting to women, and I'm getting angry at this because I'm like, listen, I've made some bad decisions in life for sure, but I'm not dumb enough, or I'm not dumb, I should say, to not be able to obtain the right proper identification to go out and vote. And I, when I lived in New York too, I'd always try to hand them my driver's license, but they never really cared to take it to prove I am who I am. So it's just one of those things. And also keep in mind too, I was going to vote once in New York, and because they have like a piece of paper, they're very old school, where they had a piece of paper. And they tried having me, they were writing stuff down on it, my line. And then when she handed it to me to initial, I looked and she picked the wrong person. It wasn't me. And so I would have been initialing for someone else who probably would have went there to vote and wasn't going to be able to vote because of it. These people, and it's human error, and I get that. It was a female though, so maybe she was just dumb enough not to be able to do it, but it's a human error and I totally understand that, but we need to be realistic here in this fight. And it, being someone who moved to Florida and I was voting in Florida, they do check your driver's license. They do look, they do make sure that your signature matches, and they're very strict about it. So like, that's a great place. It's also very low on the list of places where voter fraud does happen. It still happens, but it's very low for that reason alone. I kind of want to shift gears though. You know, you and I have something in common, and it's the right decision. We made the right decision when it came to the pandemic to not get those COVID vaccines. Now, they claim they're vaccines, but obviously it's gene therapeutics where they're altering your DNA and they're killing Americans and people all around the world. We now know just that, but that was a conspiracy theory back in the day. I was one of the many Americans who decided not to participate in this experiment, which resulted in me getting pushed out of Fox Corp. Now, this is my actual 4-year anniversary of leaving Fox. I put up a picture, over the, well, I guess it was on Monday, of my, staff ID. And I kind of reflected on it, you know, and we'll get to your story too, because you were in the same boat as me. Fox Corp waited until I moved, because working remotely, they waited until I moved directly back to New York City to work for them. And, they tried going after me for my relocation fee. They were threatening to try to recoup that $5,000 they gave me, put me in $20,000 of debt, by just rejecting complying with the New York City private sector vaccine mandate, which was illegal. They knew it. There was no penalties. They didn't care. There wasn't an agency assigned to carry out with this BS mandate, but they didn't care. They went after me. It's all in emails. It's very clear and easy to prove. They never disputed it. But it's been 4 years for me. But I'm not alone in this battle. You and I are COVID jab fighters. We pushed back. We didn't comply, and we were retaliated against. But you have your own story, so let's reflect on that.
Well,
that's a big
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for your bravery and being actually one of the few people who was brave enough to speak out against it in the early days of this. Because you know, it's easy now that we're in 2026 for people. I meet people all the time who say that they regret getting the vaccine and they only got it because their job made them do it or they wanted to travel. And now in 2026, people can say that, hey, and maybe it wasn't a good idea, but back then in 2021, 2022, when they were really pushing it, if you spoke out against this, I mean, you were really demonized. And that's exactly what happened to me. I first was suspicious in 2020 when they had everybody wearing their masks everywhere. I mean, you know, they said 2 weeks to slow the spread. Mm-hmm. And the first 2 weeks, you know, we didn't have much information. So I did what was told, wear the mask, stay inside. But after about 2 weeks of this is when I was like, my alert bells in my head went off and I was like, this doesn't seem right. It feels like a compliance issue where they're really just pushing us to wear these masks and kind of see who's going to listen and who's not going to. And I was in Los Angeles at the time, and you know, I decided I wasn't going to wear my mask at the grocery store. I was just going to be brave and not do it. But people would get angry back then and point at you and be like, you're killing people, you know. And I think, like I said, it's easy now for some people to forget, but we need to remember that it was so important to speak up against this. I did not get the COVID vaccine, because number one, I didn't want to. Okay. And number two, I already knew that it wasn't good. It wasn't going to be good for me. But I moved to Texas because, here at least we have a little bit more voice to speak. Mm-hmm. But, you know, back then it was really hard to talk about these things, but God rewards bravery. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful that I did speak up.
Yeah, there were a lot of people at Fox who cut me off when all this went down. People who I would book constantly on shows. I was a producer. I wasn't on air. I was producing. And they didn't want to talk to me anymore. They were individuals who then quickly unfollowed me on social media platforms because they didn't want an association with me. Because everyone was afraid. Everyone was so afraid. Not for a virus that they probably already had immunity to because they already probably had it in their system. But they were afraid of being targeted by executives. And a lot of them abandoned me. So that's why I'm very loyal to those who were loyal to me. I've said those stories before. But when it came to the mask, this was the part to me that was so crazy. Because I had lived in Florida remotely again. So they had brought me back up to New York under the impression that I was going to eventually, once the slot opened up, go work on Tucker Carlson's show. So obviously as a young producer, like, that is peak for your career. And so I would walk off the face of the earth if they were to tell me what I could do for that, except get the jab. That was my red line there. And so I didn't do that. But, you know, you and I were talking yesterday about this, and it's interesting because when we were talking about this, you had mentioned a really touching story about an elderly man who was in a store, and you and your husband were there, and you weren't wearing masks, and he went up to you guys and asked you a question. Tell our audience about that story.
So this was in a Trader Joe's, and me and my husband were not wearing our mask, and this elderly man approached us. He had his mask on, and he said, "We don't have to wear these." And I was like, "No, you don't have to." And he took off the mask, and he had tears in his eyes when he did this. And to me, it's so emotional because it's like he saw two other people who were brave enough to do it, and it gave him the courage to take his mask off.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's so important to speak up, because you do not know who you might be encouraging. And even though at the time that I went through losing so many friends, you know, I'm so glad that I spoke up when I did, because I got a lot of messages from people who thanked me. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, I think the worst part about the COVID situation for me personally as a stand-up comedian is finding out that a lot of people did not believe in the COVID vaccine, but went along with it and had fake vaccine passports. Okay. And I know this is a real thing because I went to the Comedy Store on Sunset and I was denied access to enter the Comedy Store because I did not have my vaccine passport with me. Although I had medical documentation from my doctor stating that I was advised not to take this vaccine, and I also had a negative COVID test. First of all, the fact that I even had to carry that in my bag was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And when I showed this paperwork to the managers at the Comedy Store, they said, "Lila, we can take this paperwork from you. We'll scan it. And then in 3 days, you could come back in here." And I was like, first of all, I'm not going to give you my paperwork. I don't want you to have copies of this. And as I was getting kicked out to leave, the security guard said to me, "Lila, you should have just shown us a fake vaccine passport and we would have let you in." Mm. So that right there told me, oh, you all know that this is BS. There's so many other people who don't believe in this, but they're going along with it. And think about how many, if those people would have been brave enough to speak, It would have saved a lot more lives.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. If we all would have been as bold as we were back then, it would have never happened. I mean, so many people would have been saved from all of this. And it's not an over-exaggeration. There's somebody who I deeply, deeply love who was, you know, going back and forth to keep their job, whether or not they were going to get vaccinated. And I was saying, hey, listen, Dr. Naomi Wolf just released thousands of pages regarding the studies that were done by Pfizer. They actually had to sue to get this. I think it was like 55,000 pages. And in it, it was talking detail extensively about the seizures it was causing. And this person quietly went and still got it done, and the long-term health effects that took place after that were devastating. And it's just so heartbreaking that so many Americans didn't jump on board. We could win this fight if we were all on the same team, if we were all going out there and just saying, you know what, we're going to fight this battle together. Lila, I want to thank you for being here. You've been an incredible fighter in all of this. And for our audience at home, again, you can head on over to band.video to see her full film about election fraud. It's American History of Voter Fraud. It is an incredible one. You can also give her a follow on X as well. Love, Lila Hart. Lila, thank you for being here. Thank you for coming to Austin.
Thank you so much for having me. And I just want to say this to the audience out there. Be brave, be bold, speak out, because the awakening is happening and people are waking up now. And although we wish that people had woken up sooner, thank God that people are waking up. Do not be afraid to use your voice and to speak, because you could be inspiring people around you.
Absolutely, they can. All right, folks, I want to play a clip. This clip is a report that just came out from Savannah Hernandez herself. Let's take a listen to her latest report in clip 6.
This is Savannah Hernandez in Columbus, Ohio, because you've heard of daycare fraud, but have you heard about fraud in the trucking industry? Well, if you haven't, I'm currently at this location because apparently 32 trucking companies have been registered to this exact same address. Now, 16 of those companies are since inactive, but 16 of them are still active. And for those of you who might not be familiar with the way the DOT works, the Department of Transportation issues one DOT number to one individual trucking company. Now, the address of this is important because this is where all of the employees for said company come to work. It's where all of the records are kept. So if the DOT wanted to come and conduct an audit of said company, this is the location that they would come to. However, when we went inside, we did not see 16 trucking companies listed. Again, if the DOT wanted to, this is where there should be employees and records for 16 separate trucking companies. Now, 32 have been listed here in total, and one of those jumped out to us because their LLC address was different from their DOT address. Now, think of the DOT address like their office space, whereas the LLC address could be their headquarters, so not out of the norm. However, when we followed that LLC address, the headquarters didn't lead us to a trucking company, but to a home health care company. Now, apparently, this is the headquarters for that trucking company that was tied to the residential office address. An interesting thing about this company, back in 2020, they got a PPP loan for over $152,000. Now, this loan has since been forgiven, but something to note, the industry that the loan was listed under was home and garden equipment maintenance and repair, not trucking or home health care. Now, this also used to be a trucking company, and listed over here is Five Star Trucking. Now, this is a company that apparently had 25 semi-trucks tied to it, and it was sharing the address as this home healthcare company at one period of time. They have since been made inactive. They've had their authority revoked from the DOT, but at one point, this was both a home healthcare center and a different trucking company from that first one that we discussed. And if that isn't confusing enough for you, I followed the LLC address for the Ameristar Home Healthcare Company, and it led us to a residential address, a home valued at over $500,000. And tied to that address is not only this LLC, but also the LLC for a real estate company and another trucking company. Now, I wanted to come to this location and highlight the discrepancies that we are seeing in the trucking industry, and I actually have a long-form documentary coming out about everything that has been taking place. I'm working alongside my friend Danielle, whose family has been in the trucking industry for three generations. She's a data analyst, and she has been scrapping all of the public data from the Department of Transportation about these various companies, all of the trucking companies. You in some cases have hundreds of them that are tied to one address, or instances like this where you have a trucking company tied to a home healthcare company that are getting PPP loans that have since been forgiven. So we're going to be putting that out. Stay tuned for it, because we are in Ohio. This is one of 10 addresses that Danielle gave to me. And again, very interesting angle here, which is why I wanted to highlight it. But we have 9 more addresses to go. And on top of that, this isn't just happening in Ohio. It's happening in New York. It's happening in Texas. It's happening in California. So we're going to be highlighting how broad this is and answering the very important question, how are illegal immigrants driving 18-wheelers? How are non-English speaking migrants getting CDL licenses and driving on our streets? We're going to be answering all of that and get to the core of how the trucking industry has gotten to the place where it is today. So stay tuned for that.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force. Well, we brought it back, but even stronger. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity, with no letdown, and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexjonesstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this, and then looking at how they're organically derived, and how each ingredient itself is a game-changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Jones show. I'm not Alex Jones. No, he hasn't transitioned. I'm Brad Morello, host of the American Journal, and we are digging into the truth, digging into a lot of truth. So many people have tried to cover up so many crimes in this country, corrupt individuals, deep state operatives. You all know them, and we're exposing just that. So gear up. Also, folks, Alex Jones will be making an appearance on the Alex Jones show as well in just a bit. So in case you don't like me, you better stay put because he's going to be here in just a little bit. But there's a lot that I want to discuss with you, specifically, though, going on here in the United States. We just got our very first, he's not a refugee. I was going to joke about it. It was a bad joke. Tommy Robinson is here in the United States right now. And this is big news. Big, big news. Tommy Robinson took to X earlier today and announced his arrival. Take a look at this video that you see on your screen right now. They let him in. Tommy Robinson is someone who I dearly, dearly respect. He's an incredible independent journalist exposing those, well, the Muslim invaders who have taken over the UK and are going around raping their women and children. As many of you guys know, if you go after them, well, they go after you. They go after you, and they've done just that. So Tommy Robinson's here right now in the United States. No word as to what he's specifically doing, but it looks like he's in D.C. right now. And maybe he'll be making a trip to Texas very soon, one would hope. But Tommy Robinson made it to the United States. I know in the past there's been some issues, so it was good to see that they've allowed him in. And we'll keep our eye on that guy. We'll keep our eye on him. Folks, I don't know if you saw it earlier today, the president's. Well, he celebrated and had a gathering of his Board of Peace. Obviously, this includes several world leaders. Not a lot of them won't actually jump on board. The Vatican is not even jumping in. They were given an invitation. They don't want to come to the Board of Peace. I do love peace, but is this really peace? I don't really know. Is Jared Kushner's involved? And I'm not a Jared Kushner fan. In fact, I thought that they weren't going to be involved. That's what the commitment. I thought because I didn't think they were actually going to live it through. But I thought that the Kushner family was going to stay far out of the political world. That was what we were told. So there's that. But the Board of Peace is happening, and the president announced that the United States will commit $10 billion to his Board of Peace. That's not his personal money. That's our money. Yeah, not ideal. Not ideal. As many of you guys know, too, this is going to be used to rebuild Gaza. Yeah, I don't think that's a good use of our money. Folks, we have cities that are literally crumbling here in the United States. How about we reshift those funds and invest in ourselves? Invest in ourselves. That would be the America First MAGA way. So although it sounds good, and we do want world peace, we also don't want those greedy individuals getting their sticky little hands all over those funds. I don't think you're ever going to be rebuild Gaza. There's no desire by the people there. But also, I mean, have Israel pay for it. This shouldn't be our thing. Folks, let's bring things back to Texas. There's a whole bunch of drama that's going on right now in Texas, in case you didn't know. Tony Gonzalez is at... Well, obviously, he's a congressman, but he works here in Texas. And something wild happened. It's been a couple of months now since this all went down. Something wild happened. One of his staffers lit herself on fire inside of her backyard of her home, and she died. Now, when that story happened, the rest of us who read the details thought, what a horrific, horrific way to go. But no one really knew why, and Well, rumors started to circulate. A lot of individuals accused Tony Gonzalez of having an affair with that staffer. Now, Gonzalez denied those claims. And then all of a sudden, the story kind of died out. Well, text messages live forever, and that's exactly what's happening right now. And I know Tony thought he was going to get away with this, but it doesn't look to be the case. Again, he denies these claims. But all of a sudden, now that these text messages are coming out, he's not denying it as much as he was before. Tony Gonzalez now has a lot of mess that he needs to answer for. As you see here on your screen right now, this was allegedly a message that was sent by that young staffer who took her own life, admitting openly, I had an affair with our boss and I'm fine. You will be fine. Now that's her words, according to sources, the report that came out. That is the woman who killed herself. She was married as well. So as Tony has 6 kids, I think, with his current wife. But now the woman, the staffer, her husband's speaking out. And her husband has had enough of Tony. And he's saying, Tony Gonzalez is a liar. Those are accusations he's currently making right now. So let's read through the reports. The husband of this staffer is saying that, well, he found out that the congressman was sleeping with his staffer. After he noticed that his wife was texting the congressman, when she handed over her phone for her husband to look at it, she apparently told her husband, you're not going to like what you're about to see. This is according to the husband. Again, this is what his perspective is on this whole issue. When he went through her phone, he realized the text messages between the pair were very sexual in nature. That's his quote. He accused, and he's still now publicly accusing Gonzalez of actually having an affair with his wife. He claims that it happened for at least 2 weeks. Now, again, folks, he denied this initially. The Daily Mail has been very aggressive on all of this, and they have been reporting exclusive details from the very beginning. And now they provided, Gonzalez provided the Daily Mail with a statement. And he's distancing himself. Now it's a political hit job, of course. It's all politics, and he's just the victim. Rather than, you know, you did cheat, you cheat on your wife. You may have destroyed the life of this woman, this staffer. You may have abused your power. That's according to the husband claiming that he abused his power as the congressman leading that office. But Tony's hoping that you're not paying attention to this. In fact, and this is the part that will get you fired up, because the president actually endorsed Tony Gonzalez while these accusations were floating out there publicly, very publicly. The Daily Mail has been putting out little bits and pieces, but now this is a nuke that's going off, because now we have physical text messages to show us what was happening behind the scenes. Now, obviously, folks, timeline, yeah, we're very close to the election. Here in Texas, early voting started, and that's when all this stuff came out. But Tony Gonzalez, if you live in Texas or you know people who live in his district, they've never really liked the guy. A lot of people that I know have told me they think that he sold them out. Those are accusations again. But as a member of Congress, you should, well, they're politicians, you should have a certain level of professionalism. You know, not sleeping with your staffers would probably qualify for that. And so it's quite clear right now that he's got himself into a really, really bad situation. Now, it's devastating to hear that this woman killed herself over all of this, and the way that she passed away is absolutely awful. But the fact that this man's not taking any type of accountability for all of this, you can't have people like this representing you in Washington, D.C. Why? Because they're morally corrupt. Morally corrupt. If these accusations are true, he needs to be tossed out. And the fact that these accusations were being made and the president still provided him with an endorsement is quite frustrating. It's not just that endorsement too. We've been covering it all. There's so many people who get endorsements from the president, and it just doesn't make sense because they go against the MAGA agenda. Maria Salazar, another one in Florida. That was a recent endorsement just a few days ago. He backed her. Now, I went after her office because I found out that she was going to be going and attending the World Economic Forum in Davos. This was maybe, what, 2 years ago? And when I asked, are you going to hold these people accountable? Are you going to the WEF to apply pressure? She didn't want to say that because now these are her people. These are her people. And so she went there and didn't push back. And what are the results of all that? Well, she's obviously back here in the United States pushing for mass amnesty. You can't pick on the gardeners. You can't pick on her nannies. No, those people need to stay. Those people need to stay. And obviously, after making outrageous claims like that, it's kind of weird that the president then went back and endorsed her. It's not just that. It's people like Mike Lawler, a spineless New York Republican who always finds himself on the wrong side of an issue. The president likes him too. And there's been several of those. I believe even Corey Mills got an endorsement. Corey Mills, another one. Again, personal life. I don't like to weigh in on personal lives. As long as it's, you know, has nothing to do with politically. But, you know, he is accused of, the Blaze was doing extensive reporting in regards to him. And, you know, they claimed that he had extreme ties to Islam. It was quite confusing considering he's a Christian. But obviously there's a lot of questionable business dealings, which again makes sense to question publicly. The multiple girlfriends angle, I won't even brush upon that. But there's a lot of issues with these candidates that keep getting endorsements, and it's fair to call it out. It's fair to just say, hey, what are we doing here? You see, because we always say when there's someone who's not doing something that they should be doing, we should just primary them. But there are so many great patriots out there right now trying to run for office, and they can't because, well, they're being penalized because the president's endorsing corrupt rhino Republicans rather than people who should be elevated, people who would fight for things that you and I believe in. And that's the problem here. And let me just speak from experience because I know you guys don't hear me overpronunciating my vowels. I actually took dictation classes. That's the reason why I can't speak English these days, because I'm always overthinking. But as a former New Yorker, I was going to run for office in New York. I was going to run for the New York State Senate. And I made my way around. There were supposed to be 3 GOP chair persons, because they're both women and men, I was supposed to meet with. And guess what happened? One of them told me that I have to hire people that they throw my way. And I said, okay, yeah, what are their names? And I haven't heard of them. So I was like, okay, so what's their like resume look like? They have a history of winning campaigns. They gave me a list of campaigns that they worked on, but they weren't winning campaigns. And so I said, I kind of want people with experience of winning because I'm not a politician. I'm just trying to help out. And I said, no, if you want the GOP's endorsements, that's what somebody else told me afterwards. If you want the GOP's endorsements, who worked in the political space, you got to take my candidates. You got to take that candidates. You got to take my recommendations. And so I didn't get very far. In fact, we never launched that campaign. And it's probably why I still have my sanity. But folks, that was it. This is what goes on a local level. And as many of you guys know, I have Mel Kay on all the time. She's the author of the book, Americans Anonymous, which tries to walk you through the easy ways that you could become involved locally in your government. And it's a great read because I've seen it firsthand. Trying to get through and maneuver around these local GOPs, the chairman, not ideal. It's actually a struggle. But if you're tired of these rhino candidates, these corrupt candidates getting endorsements, getting backed, we've got to hold at a local level these GOP chairmen accountable, even the Conservative Party, too. They're only getting away with it because we allow them to get away with it. We applied pressure for the Epstein files to be publicly released. It was a campaign promise laid out. We weren't getting it. And thanks to 2 congressmen who pushed it forward, we got the legislation rolling. It applied pressure on the White House. They were forced to sign it. And bam, now you have 3.2 million documents making their way onto the web. Obviously, it's not perfect, but a win's a win because it wasn't coming out from any other administration. That's for sure. And so you at home play a very important role in all of this. And so while we sit here and cover, obviously, both the good, the bad, you have to get involved. You have to get involved. That's one of the most important things that you could do as an American, is showing your face and making sure that these people don't hold this country hostage with their bad politics, obviously. Ah, Thomas Massey. Editing the arrest. By the way, if you don't follow me on X, it's at Brianna Morello, and you're missing out big time because every day I tell you what, you know, the date is, and I also tell you there's been no arrests. This doesn't count as an arrest because it wasn't done in the United States. But Thomas Massey, a win is a win, my friend. You got at least one arrest on the books for the Epstein files, although it's not here in the United States, and it just happens to be the country that has been, for decades now, has been covering for the Muslim rapists that they let in. How embarrassing is that? That a country that is known for allowing invaders in, who have declared holy war, and are going around raping girls and boys and women, that country is actually fighting harder than we are here in the United States to hold those accountable who were hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein and raping children. And it's even worse than just raping children, as if that wasn't even a thing. We're talking about the demons that decided to go around, and now it looks like the conspiracy has yet been proven right yet again. We're going around torturing children. I'll never forget the multiple layers of these Epstein files, but folks, when you read the details, it's rage bait. Because to sit here and to pretend, like our DOJ is doing right now, to pretend like after dumping 3.2 million documents onto the internet that you can't find a single crime here, that Ghislaine Maxwell is just smuggling children to no one. Oh, yeah. It was just her and Jeffrey Epstein committing crimes. Nobody else. Nobody else. Many of them say, well, this is statute of limitations stuff. Okay, well, we have a public opinion here in this country, and we'd like to know some names. It's hard for me to believe that the man who obviously was taking several pictures of horrific acts, one of those images, I'll spare you of the specific details, but one of the still images, which is being cited, again, it's redacted, given how graphic it is, but it includes a girl, who's underage, and she's tied down to a bed, and she's being violently sexually abused, where blood is coming out of you know what. And we have the image, but you're telling me that you can't figure out who the men were? Who were doing the abuse to her? Folks, the cover-up is just as bad as those who are out there raping children, sacrificing children. I'm done with the cowards saying, oh, we have to move on from this. No, we don't. No, we don't. You're a coward if that's your opinion. You're a coward. These people need to be dragged off and executed after, obviously, a fair trial. We cannot allow this to continue to happen. Accountability needs to come, and I'm talking about public accountability. I'm talking about find the highest tree in the country and hang them. The fact that we still haven't passed legislation on a federal level that forces prosecutors, federal prosecutors, to implement the death penalty for those who hurt children, we're an absolute disgrace of a country. So one thing both sides should be able to agree on voter-wise, at least. Those who hurt children, those who target children, should be executed because we should not be forced to share air with these people. The images coming out, obviously, from the Epstein files, and I've gone through some of them. There's a lot of pornography. But I don't care. I want to know who those men were. I want to know who those men were. And screw the DOJ for what they did, for releasing that long list of people who have absolutely nothing to do with the Epstein files, just to do what the CIA does best, and cause chaos and confusion. Because now they're just inserting random people's names who had nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein, and it's just a big F you for demanding accountability, for criticizing us. There is a way to go about all of this, and I'm an expert when it comes to crisis management, and this wasn't it. Going after, and they're still doing this to this day right now. I see Todd Blanchard's Twitter account going after people being critical of him. And yes, you could sit there and correct people, right? Like if a congressman is out there saying things that are false and you know that they're false, then yes, definitely correct them. But the personal, I'm so over it. Because right now it looks like that we have people in this administration covering up for pedophiles. And I know that President Trump is nowhere near the bad side of any of this. But when I sit here and I listen to the response from the White House, DOJ, people that I voted for, I can't back this stuff. I can't sit here and pretend like we're on the right side of all of this. Pedophilia is my red line. And I know at home for you all, it is the same thing for you. I could defend the administration on a lot. But this I can't defend anyone on. Anyone who finds themselves trying to protect and redact names that they shouldn't be. And again, the DOJ says, you know, they've made some mistakes. But we still don't know who is actually raping children, who is sacrificing children. We still don't know where those bodies are. It's not a conspiracy theory anymore. Anyone who tells you it is low IQ, or they are a part of the cover-up. Either or. Are you an idiot? Are you complicit? Steve Dace is going to be doing the show in just a bit as well, and we're going to sound off because Howard Lutnick is all over the Epstein files. And again, this is the common theme here. We're going to talk about this with Steve. The common theme here is they try to distance themselves from the Epstein files, but most importantly, their personal relationships with Jeffrey Epstein. I've seen every person go out there right now, like Bill Gates, Hillary Clinton. They're all just saying, oh, we didn't know. We didn't know him. Now, you'd have to be an absolute idiot to believe that narrative because Jeffrey Epstein was well documented. I mean, he saved so much. We've got dozens of emails, thousands of emails, photos. You know, Bill Clinton's featured in a photo of a hot tub, it looks like, with a girl whose face is redacted. Now, I was told by this administration that redactions were for victims. So who the hell is in a hot tub with Bill Clinton, and we can't ask that question at all? We can't get any answers to that question? Oh, Bill, when you're not home with your wife, you just happen to be in a hot tub with what appears to be, in my opinion, a very young girl. Now, again, face redacted, can't tell you that 100%, but I can tell you it's quite suspicious. What do I think about all of this? I think, and you don't even say, and this isn't to be vile, but I don't see any hands here. I don't see the girl's arms. I don't see your hands. Now, again, that's just going to be speculation because, unfortunately, the DOJ won't give us answers. Now, again, Bill Clinton will continue to deny it, but I believe he also denied having an affair with Monica Lewinsky, so bear with me. I might not trust that man. And then you have President Trump going out there and saying, Bill's a good guy. I hate to see him get wrapped up in all of this. It's a head scratcher at this point. All right, folks, we've got a jam-packed program for you still happening. Like I mentioned, also, Alex will be back very, very soon. He's got something he wants to sound off on, and it's going to be quite the enlightening discussion. So make sure you stay put. Also, we'll be joined by Hunter Gaylor as well. Got to break down the latest regarding our economy issues. A lot happening there, especially with affordability and housing. This was an issue that Mark Mitchell was trying to push over at the White House, and thankfully now it looks like they were listening. Also, Steve Dace will be joining the program as well. Plus, I've got a lot to break down. The Taliban, will they just legalize assaulting women and children? I'll bring you the latest report on that. Buckle up. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. If you support our work here at InfoWars, this is the best way to go about doing just that. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Why? Well, first off, whenever you make a purchase at thealexjonesstore.com, you will get a free hat. But most importantly, you're going to enter to possibly win one or both of these sick rides. Right now, we're giving away a Ford Mustang. And we're also giving away a Ford F-250. So if you're interested in any of these, and I don't know why you wouldn't be, you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It also comes with $20,000 in cash if you win. And the best part is every time you spend a dollar at the shop, well, you get 100 times the entries. And again, this is going to last only for a couple more hours. It's happening right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. And I can't shut up about this. In fact, Lila was here. We were hanging out last night, and I brought those energy shots with me and gave her one. And I said, hey, what'd you think of it? And she loves it. So you got to go head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and try them out. I actually am like the saleswoman for these things, and I'm just giving these away because I know that these are amazing. So over at thealexjonesstore.com, no caffeine, no jitters, and it's energy that will last throughout the day. It's a healthier solution. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you snag that before it's too late.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I am Brian Morello filling in for Alex. Alex will be popping in later to the studio, and he's got a lot to sound off on in regards to Prince Andrew being arrested. It's our first big Epstein arrest, but unfortunately, it didn't come from those in the United States. Surprise, surprise. But it's a big win, and Alex already sounded off on that, so stay put. He'll be here in just a little bit. In the meantime, though, I want to bring you some other news happening in Afghanistan. Well, good news if you're a female or a child who lives in Afghanistan, or doesn't live in Afghanistan, I should say. That's good, because, well, the Taliban has just introduced a new penal code. It's a 90-page document, and it was signed, obviously, by their supreme leader. In it, it now actually, these people are discussing their animals, it legalizes domestic violence by allowing husbands to physically punish their wives and children for minor offenses. Now, you just can't cause, you know, any major injuries, like broken bones or serious bruising. And even if you did, I don't think you could go to, you know, the Taliban and say, hey, he beat me. I don't think they'd be very friendly or be on your side. It's what's going on right now, obviously, in Afghanistan. It doesn't, we don't need any U.S. involvement, but folks, the rapid decline in Afghanistan specifically, though, has been absolutely devastating to sit back and watch. I know so many of our brave veterans who served in Afghanistan, they fought to help free these women, to help free these children, and they've just gone back to the Stone Ages yet again. Some more devastating news coming from, obviously, the Taliban. And by the way, your taxpayer dollars still go into the Taliban, according to Congressman Tim Burchett. No surprise there, though. That's what's going on right now in this country. You know, you and I, and we're going to get into this, too, in a little bit, but you and I have to pay our taxes. But no, don't ask any questions. Don't stop our government from sending blank checks to the Taliban every month as they continue to lie and say, oh, no, this is going to the Afghan people. We all know it's not. But here we are in that situation right now. Folks, I'm going to give you an update, too, in a little bit on the MAHA movement. We've got some really, really devastating news coming from the White House, sadly, yesterday. it's in regard to something that I just can't shut up about, and that's glyphosate. It's one of the many chemicals that are in our food, but it's actually one of the most dangerous ones. RFK Jr. has been screaming about this for years, and that's actually why it was on my radar when I was listening to RFK Jr. years ago. He always talked about glyphosate, and I had no idea what it was. But then I started seeing the lawsuits that were stacking up. And unfortunately, right now at the White House, President Trump just signed an executive order that's really just absolutely mind-blowing. I actually had to read and then put it through Grok to make sure I was reading it right. So when I read through it the first time, I was like, I must be misunderstanding this. Let's see what Grok has to say. And Grok's like, oh, you got it right. This is not the MAHA agenda. By the way, in case you didn't know, glyphosate is Roundup. And it's literally causing cancer amongst Americans. So this is another one that just has me scratching my head and wondering, why are we even doing this in the first place? And there's really only one answer. That's what's going on right now in the White House. It's starting to feel like we're slowly losing this. But we'll keep our eye on that. I'll bring you the latest on that front, too, because we got some RFK clips that I'm going to play for you. As well as, it is crazy, the fact that the president signed an executive order. But on top of that, the Roundup, the company that owns Roundup, actually came out yesterday a proposal to settle class action lawsuits. Because guess what? People are alleging that Roundup causes cancer. Huh. We'll get into the details on all of that in just a little bit. Folks, buckle up. We have a jam-packed hour coming your way in just a moment. Hunter Gaylor is standing by. He's got a lot to talk about. Specifically also, I don't know if you heard, but there's an AI company, a massive company, that's actually making its way to Miami. Not good if you live in the area. We'll also be talking about Zohran Mamdani because, of course, he wants to raise property taxes on New Yorkers, but you get what you vote for. Or maybe they didn't vote for him. Maybe it was a stolen election. One can only hope at this point that it was stolen, that the American people aren't this dumb to vote for a communist. But on top of that as well, we're talking about affordability and how the cost of living might soon be going down in regards to rent and home ownership. So buckle up. We've got a lot to discuss in just a few moments.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I am Brianna Morello, host of The American Journal, filling in for Alex. Alex will be popping in a little bit. He's got a lot to sound off on. He can't even take a day off, that guy. He is amped up and ready to talk about Prince Andrew. As many of you guys know, Alex was one of the originators when it comes to exposing these corrupt individuals, alleged pedophiles. And so Alex has a lot to say, and he will be joining us in just a little bit. But I want to talk about what's happening right now in Florida. As many of you guys probably already know, so many are fleeing blue states and making their way down to red states. I'm talking about Texas and Florida. You've seen a massive influx over the last, let's just say, 5 years. But Palantir is the new company that's ditching Colorado and making their way down to Miami. The company just recently announced that they will be moving to Miami. That will be their new headquarters, it looks like. And this is obviously big news. Again, so many of these big corporations are fleeing. And, you know, here in Texas, we're seeing that quite often as well. They're leaving California, ditching and coming to Texas. It's a massive influx of new residents coming our way. So what can we expect from all of this? Joining me to discuss is Hunter Gaylor. He is the founder of Spencer Pruitt, and he's an America First strategist, and it's an honor to have him back on the show. Hunter, thank you for being here. You know, we just heard that Palantir, because they just announced it earlier this week, is going to be making their way to Miami, and you're a Florida resident. So what do you make of this?
Well, look, at the end of the day, I always say in business, money goes where it's treated best. So from a business perspective, like all of the tech companies fleeing California, I mean, even people like Nancy Pelosi are coming into my backyard, which really irritates the heck out of me. So if we get one of those big trucks that you guys are, you know, winning, hopefully we can, you know, try to take her out. I'm joking. That's a joke. That's a joke. But no, Florida is booming. And in fact, as I was waiting during the break, I was looking at this. There's a vote going on right now in the Florida State House for a constitutional amendment abolishing all non-school property taxes for Florida homeowners, and it'll be placed on the ballot for Florida voters in 2026 if approved by the Senate, and so far the vote is 80-30. So it's moves like this that are causing people to wake up and say, look, when you have the wealth tax going on in places like California, you have communist, dictatorial, you know, Islamicists running cities like New York, it creates a very appealing appetite to say, hey, listen, please don't California my Florida, and please do not New York my Florida, right? So, you know, there's definitely a lot of stuff that's going on. I mean, we just had the World Liberty Forum was just at Mar-a-Lago the other day. You had major world leaders here over the past, you know, month and a half. You have all the major banks that are doing unbelievable moves, even right into my backyard in West Palm Beach. You have groups like Wells Fargo Banking that's now headquartering their wealth division here. And you're seeing stories like this in headlines almost every other day because of the way that the state is being governed. So it's going to be very interesting to follow what goes on. Am I a fan of Palantir? Not really. But they're a tech company nonetheless, and they do have employees. And I look at it from a business perspective, but, you know, having a company like that in the backyard. I mean, we have a lot of them that are coming here already. I mean, I think there's been talks of Oracle. I haven't confirmed any of that or seen, but I think I've read some articles that Oracle and other very large companies, Amazon is coming here. Jeff Bezos is moving here. I mean, there's tons of movement of money into Florida, and it's really remarkable what's going on.
Yeah, it's changed drastically. I got to Florida back in 2018, 2019, I believe, and it wasn't what you're seeing unfold today. It's actually boomed over these last 5 years, and it's caused a massive, obviously, influx. And I joke all the time and say, hey, listen, when people are driving down south on 95, we should be checking voter IDs or voter registrations to see if they're Republican or Democrats. And then the Democrats send them all the way back up north because they were the ones who created this mess. And speaking of that, Hunter, I want to get to this because Zohra Mamdani is the Islamist communist who's now running New York City, and obviously so many of us who lived in New York City or worked in New York City but have a dear love for New York City have been devastated to see that sadly voters were just so naive and voted this man in. Well, they're starting to get kind of a rude awakening. Right now, Zohra Mamdani is holding Kathy Hochul, who's the governor of New York, hostage, it feels like, because he's demanding more funds for his free initiatives. Right now, he's demanding so much money that, in fact, and it's crazy because New York's projected when it comes to its fiscal 2027 budget, it's about a shortfall of $5.4 billion, which is resulting in him trying to shake down the governor. And he did just that the other day by saying that they're going to probably have to raise property tax and also start taking money away from the retiree funds. Take a listen to clip 12 and how that went down.
What I would rather do is ensure that they remain as they are so that the city can be on firm financial footing. However, in order to get to this point of closing the gap on both this fiscal year and the next fiscal year, we are forced to raid the rainy day fund, the retiree health benefits trust reserve, and to increase property taxes across these other years.
Okay, so obviously that's not going to be something that's going to be well received by those who live in New York City. I had a couple of friends who were debating whether to sell their property or not prior to his election, and I said, sell it. It's not looking good right now. What do you make of all of this, and how is this going to have an effect on the rest of the country? Because I'm sure most Americans who are still left in New York are going to flee.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. When you have a guy like that, and look, I haven't done a deep dive on the guy, that's the mayor. I really could care less about him. He's, you know, just his narrative alone is just disgusting. And it should be pointed out that, you know, New York, I'm sorry, but this is who you elected. As you said before the break, unless it was a stolen election, right? Mm-hmm. And this guy just got in there, they put him in there. But I mean, you know, you get what you pay for. And they showed up to the voting booth and they elected this guy. And I'm sorry, if he's going to go after your funds, that's your problem, not mine, right? I hate to be as crass as that, but that's the situation. So this should be a wake-up call. This should be a serious wake-up call for the people of New York and the people of Manhattan, because if you look at just the crime on the streets, the rampant, disgusting, you know, sidewalks with the feces story that came out the other day where it was just disgusting after the snow melt. I mean, it's just disgusting what's going on there. But when you look at this type of policy, and this is what I want people to understand, when you promise everyone that you can have tea and cake and all of this free, free lunch, and I'm going to give you free grocery stores, and we're going to be like Robin Hood. We're going to steal from the rich, and we're going to tax the rich so that the poor can go. I mean, it's this type of narrative that's been going on forever. And yet we keep electing these people, right? And they're taking what once great, unbelievable, you know, superpower cities of the world, right? That you would look at it. I mean, you know, what's the Frank Sinatra song? If I can make it here, I can make it anywhere. Well, not anymore. They're all coming to Florida. And so at the end of the day, you look at this guy, he's a disgusting individual, and not to just be call it out, not to have some intellectual argument, but the guy's just not smart.
Yeah.
He's not articulate. And if you look at him and the way he ran, I mean, it's just disgusting. Now, can he actually pass the property tax? I was doing a little bit of research on this because I'm not too familiar with the New York law because they're just a strange place. But I think he can't just make the decision. I think he has to get city council full support. I don't know if it's a 50+1% or if he has to get all of city council to back him on this. But I mean, you know, this is a real thing that's happening. And all of these people that have their pension funds and all of these things where they're getting their Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, which is, we understand, federal, but they're being affected because of stupid policy like this. So, I mean, at the end of the day, my message to the people of New York is, you know, you voted for this. So either you stand up and stop doing five, you know, Muslim calls to prayer in Times Square, and you actually focus on the stuff that's actually going to help you as a city increase and improve. Because right now, you know, it's the best recruiting card for the state of Florida, you know, that you could possibly get, because people clearly do not like to live under this tyrannical type of leadership. Yeah. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, and it doesn't look too positive, because New York City Council itself is a cesspool for liberals as well. And so, unfortunately, if you live in New York, it's not looking good anytime soon.
Well, it's the age old saying, and I hate to say it, I don't mean to cut you off, but the this is a very important point. It's government is only good until they realize that people can vote themselves the treasury. And that is exactly what we are seeing, right? You know, lock, stock, and barrel happening right now in New York and in California and in other, you know, liberal blue cities. These people get in charge, right? And then they just load themselves up, right, with the public money. And that's exactly what's happening. It's a form of corruption. It's a form of money laundering. It's a form of all of these, it's cartelish behavior. And so when you see that, if the people don't wake up and see what's happening, right, it's only going to make matters worse if we don't get these people out and have real serious accountability and oversight. And we have none of that right now.
Yeah, it's sad, but it's true. I mean, we have zero accountability right now. Hunter, I wanted to ask about this before you go, though, because the White House, at first, they weren't trying to entertain the idea, I feel like, on getting affordable housing. But, I mean, that's the reason why people like Gazzo and Madani get elected, because they're talking to a younger generation that's struggling to get by, those in their 20s and 30s with student debts and are just trying to stay afloat. And so they turn to communism without even realizing they're doing this. And so it's important now that the White House is really going out there and getting involved in the affordability fight itself. I want to play clip 13 for you, because the White House now is talking about how they plan on bringing housing prices down. Take a listen.
A key part of the American dream is buying a home. And that is finally becoming more affordable under this president. This past week, it was announced the annual mortgage cost for a new home has fallen by $4,000 so far under President Trump, after rising by roughly $15,000 under Joe Biden. As a result, mortgage affordability has reached a four-year best. First of all, the president is obviously committed to deporting illegal aliens from our country and those who are not lawfully present in the United States, which he has done at a record pace, which has led to the falling of rents, as I pointed out in my opening remarks. Secondly, the president has recently announced that he is fighting for a ban on institutional investors and Wall Street billionaire corporations from buying up single-family homes that should be lived in his opinion, by American families. We know this is going to have a remarkable impact on the housing market and on prices and supply and demand for the American consumer and the American family. And then thirdly, the president is also expediting permitting as fast as we possibly can to build more homes, to increase supply, to obviously bring down the cost of home ownership and purchasing homes for the American people. And then also, as I mentioned as well, we do see mortgage rates falling. So all of this is combining to make housing more affordable in this country. There's still a lot more to do. The president is still digging his way out of the mess that was created by Joe Biden's administration and jacking up mortgage rates and jacking up housing costs. But we do see very positive trends in this direction. And the president wants the United States to be a nation of owners, not renters. He wants families to live in homes, not institutions and big corporations.
All right, Hunter, your reaction to the White House's plan to try to bring down the housing costs for so many Americans. And I love the fact that she said that we don't want people just renting. We want them owning. We want to Americans owning. That's the key word here, Americans. Your thoughts?
Yep. Yeah, look, it's an effort, right? So you get an A for effort. They're trying, right? Mm-hmm. Whether the White House will be successful, that remains to be seen. But I will tell you there's two things. One, you know, this could be a whole massive special that you or Alex or probably could do on the history of the U.S. housing and how it came to be and the formation of neighborhoods and all of these things like that. But when the banks come in and we get a mortgage rate, right, and you have a 30-year mortgage or a 50-year mortgage, you know, even if you pay off your house, you're still paying property tax. So you, mm-hmm. And then the banks can put liens on your place. So there's an entire international banking cartel around this for controlling the U.S. housing market. And if you look at what happened back during the 2008 housing crisis, it started because people, these predatory home loans were given out to people who should never have qualified for these for these types of homes or these types of loans in general. And what happened with the bank? You know, you people like Barney Frank that sat there that did nothing. Fannie and Freddie Mae failed on his watch, right? And he's sitting there playing all of these games. People don't remember that. You remember Barney Frank, the banking queen, right? So he's out there and Congress gets involved and they're just hurting the American people. And they've been doing that ever since. I mean, I won't go down the whole thing of the International Bank of Settlements. I won't go through BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, or any of these people that are actually holding the mortgages, that are controlling the notes, that are mm-hmm. that are artificially, you know, increasing the housing prices due to a choke in supply. So I like what the president's trying to initiate, but really what happens is you have to put the power back in the hands of the people, and you have to cut the red tape, and you have to make it easier for someone like me that can deploy capital to make it easier to build. I stop with the environmental baloney bullcrap that it takes to get housing so I can build new neighborhoods and I can build more homes and I can build more golf courses and I can build more communities to where people can have a lower cost of living because our taxes are so high. I mean, you know, if we're really playing the tariff game and we're going to look and we're going to equate that to that what's going on in the housing market, what we have to do is how do you make it easier for me to put more money in my pocket instead of giving it to the taxpaying dollars going to the damn Taliban? Yeah, I mean, this is ridiculous. We're sending money overseas. We're fighting in foreign wars, right? We're about to go to war with Iran again, right? We're dealing in Venezuela, which is, you know, regime change, which is, you know, that's a whole nother story. But yeah. All of that distracts money and resources away from we, the working class American people. And that's really what we need to be focusing on. And we need to focus on a whole system. And that system of job creation with students, if you're looking at, you're saying, hey, listen, I want to help a child, right? Or I want to help a student learn a job. Then I want to be able to one day have him get the job, learn the job, and then one day own the job. That's upward mobility, right? That's why we need these training programs. That's why we need more community involvement for financial literacy so that we stop becoming just a slave society, right? To where we're all, you know, we're forced to pay rent. We're forced to pay taxes. We pay taxes on our gas. We pay taxes on our groceries. We pay tax, 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 tax. And at the end of the day, because we live in such a rat race environment, if you don't work, you don't eat. And so many times we're importing all of these people in from the third world, right? That it's taking jobs, it's taking resources, it's a strain on the system. So, you know, from a housing, I like the direction, I like the narrative, but I really want to see, you know, a change in the actual laws and the cutting of the red tape to make it easier and more affordable for people to get into a home.
Yeah, well, that's a top priority, hopefully, with this administration. I think they understand that the growing demographic is concerned of with that issue completely. And as we head into midterms, that's going to be something that they gear up for.
And by the way, I got your mind fuel. I got the mind fuel. Let me tell you, this is a great energy shot. You sent me some of these. I'm kind of getting addicted to them, but it's fantastic. So, you know, what's on the alexjonesstore.com, right?
Yes, it is. And thank you.
Here we go. Mind fuel right there. alexjonesstore.com.
I was just asking the control room. I'm like, my eyesight's not amazing. And I'm like, is that our energy shot? Yeah, it's great. My favorite part though, no caffeine, all vitamins. And so it's a clean energy boost. And Hunter, I'm glad you like it because it's available right now with the alexjonesstore.com. And if anyone at home right now is looking to grab some, it's a good investment. You know, I'm no Hunter Gaylor, but I'll tell you that this is a good investment because you're entering to win a contest to win two sick rides, possibly the F-250. That's the Ford one and then the Ford Mustang as well, and $20,000 in cash. Hunter, thanks for that plug because you made my job a lot easier. I appreciate it.
No worries. Mind fuel. Get your mind fuel today at the alexjonesstore.com. It's going to change your life. You won't even be the same person, right? You'll start being like a hunter. It'll be great.
Hunter, I literally was saying to them in the office, I was like, I was using your studio space and let's get him on cam as he does his shot. Using your studio space. You were so kind to do it and I couldn't shut up about these shots. So I had to send them your way. So like,
no,
I'm
they
liking
were fantastic.
That you like them. Good to hear.
Well, no, listen, I mean, I deal with a lot of numbers on a daily basis, and it really does. Zero calories, zero sugar. It's an energy shot. I mean, I take it with, you know, my coffee in the morning. It's fantastic. And I will tell you, for people that are in high functioning, you know, if you're going into any type of negotiation or anything, the nootropics do really work. And I like to see it. It's healthy. It's got great ingredients. So, thanks for sending it. I mean, you got me hooked.
I love it. That's my job here. So Hunter, thank you. We appreciate your time as always and look forward to having you back on the show. So thank you.
Take care.
All right. That's Hunter Gaylor, folks. If you want to give him a follow on X, make sure you do just that. It's just Hunter and I'll spell it for you. The last name, Gaylor. That's where you could find him on X as well. So make sure you do just that. All right, folks, buckle up. We got a lot more to discuss. Specifically, though, I want to talk about this. President Trump yesterday signed an executive order. And again, I had to read this multiple times. It's the Defense Production Act. It was signed yesterday. It's meant to promote the national defense for things like, and this is mind-blowing, glyphosate. He's looking to make sure that they could I guess speed up the production of glyphosate. For those of you at home who are wondering what's going on here, you're not alone. I had to read this over and over again. Most importantly, though, I actually had to run it through AI after I read it to make sure I wasn't losing it. This action aims to reduce imports, also help the critical supply chain, that's according to the White House, and protect both military readiness and the availability of affordable food. I don't know what the F is going on right now, guys. I am just completely mind blown in all of this. It's strange given the fact that what I know about glyphosate actually comes from RFK Jr. When I saw RFK, this was years ago, talk about glyphosate, I had no idea. Although I do remember this was back in the day whenever you had a sick day at school, remember you're watching the commercials and it's a lot of like lawyer ads. I did remember seeing a ton of just Roundup. If you ever have if you developed cancer, it could be caused by Roundup. Well, Roundup is glyphosate. And the same day that he signs this executive order, I had to do a double take as well. Roundup had to put out a statement. They're proposing a $7.25 billion plan to settle thousands of lawsuits claiming that Roundup, weed killer, caused cancer. I don't know how this gets any worse. The same day the executive, obviously the executive branch is out here signing orders to promote more of this. It's the same day that the company that makes it, Roundup, is allegedly looking to settle for billions of dollars over claims that people were getting cancer. It's really just heartbreaking when you go through all the details of all of this. And I don't understand what's going on right now in this country. What's going on in the White House? RFK Jr. must be going crazy about this right now. I did see that there was a statement that was provided to the New York Times in regards to all of this, because even those in the mainstream media know that the MAHA movement is triggered by this executive order. And it didn't sound like it came from RFK Jr. directly. It was just a very fluffy, we support the president and preparing, you know, government readiness and military readiness. And folks, it's just mind-blowing that this is what's going on right now in this country. Glyphosate is in every product. Thankfully, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and his wife actually did a study where they show you that it's actually in your bread, too. That's bad, because I don't eat store-bought bread. I try not to. Again, carnivore over here. But when you look at how much glyphosate is in bread that you probably think is good for you, there's no warnings on it. You have no idea you're consuming that. And if it wasn't for Florida, we wouldn't know. I would have never known. We have a massive, massive issue right now in the White House, and I don't know who to blame. It's all over the place. It's starting to feel like we're being sold out. And I don't want to be a black pill. I try my best not to be a black pill. I try my best to give this White House the benefit of the doubt, because I know it's probably a lot tougher than it is for those on the outside looking in. Every single day they're battling it out, and I get that. But I don't see any reasoning to go out there and promote glyphosate like this is something good for the American people. Folks, we got more to discuss in just a bit. Steve Dace is going to be joining the program, and he's got a lot to sound off in regards to the Epstein files. As many of you guys know, Prince Andrew was arrested today in the UK, and that's obviously a big one. Who would have known that over in the UK they were going to get the first major arrest for the Epstein files? Unfortunately, that didn't happen here in the US. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Like I told you, just got a couple more hours left to get 100 times the entries for every dollar you spend over at thealexjonesstore.com. That will get you into a contest to potentially win a Ford F-250 and a Ford Mustang, as well as potentially $20,000 in cash. Great investment over at thealexjonesstore.com.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry, the InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time, so take action now, InfoWarsStore.com.
Now look here, even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements. sometimes we have BOGO Sups. We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Mm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I am Brianna Morello, not Alex Jones. I'm just filling in for him today. As many of you know, I am the host of the American Journal. That is a morning show here on InfoWars. And, well, there was a lot happening today, and Alex actually is going to be jumping on in just a bit, so make sure you stay here. He's got a lot to sound off in regards to the latest Epstein arrest. We finally got one. I could say the latest Epstein arrest, thankfully. Unfortunately, though, it didn't happen here on U.S. soil. No, no, no. It actually happened abroad in the U.K. Prince Andrew has apparently been arrested, and the charges itself are a little unknown as of right now. But, I mean, this is a win. We'll take a little bit of a win when we can, and this seems to be a win. It looks like so far that the accountability tour, which I've been begging for years, might actually be kicking off right now in regards to Epstein. Exactly. So just in case you're wondering, too, by the way, Prince Andrew, today's his 66th birthday. What a way to celebrate. Happy 66th birthday, you scumbag. But most importantly, when you go down all the information that's been pouring out of the DOJ, and again, you know, I've been very critical, but let's just focus on some of the good. 3.2 million documents making their way to the internet, and all of you at home have been doing the deep dives into figuring out what's actually happening here. And we've learned a lot. We've learned a lot. But when it comes to Prince Andrew, well, President Trump knew exactly what was happening behind the scenes and tried warning the American people of just that. In clip 14 back in 2015, well, he did it. Take a listen.
You raised the question of Jeffrey Epstein in your remarks about in the Q&A.
Well, I think he's got a problem. I mean,
what do you think the problem will be?
I don't know, but that island was really a cesspool. There's no question about it. Just ask Prince Andrew. He'll tell you about it. The island was an absolute cesspool. So
the island was an absolute cesspool, and that is beyond accurate. Joining me to discuss is Steve Dace. He's one of the incredible hosts over at Blaze, and he's with us now to discuss all things related to Epstein and the latest we've uncovered so far. Steve, I want to thank you for being here. You know, this is a win. We'll take a win when we can, and I think it's a great thing to see that the UK has just arrested Prince Andrew. What do you make of all of this? Because it's been long overdue.
It is a win, Brianna, but I have to tell you, my first thought when I saw this morning was, we cannot have the country where if you complain that your Anglo-Saxon daughters are going to get raped by Muslims on social media, we arrest you, okay? We cannot have that country arrest somebody over the Epstein files before we do. I mean, we cannot have Keir Starmer in arresting people, okay, over the Epstein files, anxious to send their cops out to find you if you misgender someone on social media. We cannot have the UK outflanking us here. All right. And so there's Ghislaine Maxwell trafficked to somebody. Jeffrey Epstein trafficked to somebody. Now, I know our official government position is that Ghislaine Maxwell trafficked to Jeffrey Epstein. I highly doubt he was able, no matter what in the world he was putting in his body. I have a hard time believing he was able to indulge all those victims on his own, Brianna. So who else did he traffic to? And then you hear people say, well, there's no list. I've got an idea. Here's how you get a list. It's pretty simple, actually. Note all the people in the Epstein files. All right. Investigate them and then, put them down in what we call a list of those that you have evidence that they're guilty and release said list. And voila, the list is now readily available, Brianna. It's just that simple. Maybe not easy, but it's that simple.
Well, Steve, I'm surprised to hear that you weren't happy with the list that the DOJ released to Congress, that letter that was released over the weekend. And it details a bunch of people who never even met Jeffrey Epstein, had no involvement in Jeffrey Epstein. But it was people who were critical, Republicans too, who were critical of the way the DOJ handled all of this. People like Marjorie Taylor Greene. And MTG pointed this out, and I think it was great that she did. When you go to see her names on the list, you then go and look at the document that they're citing. The document's heavily redacted with just massive black boxes everywhere. And she posted this on Twitter, the video directly to show just that. I mean, the DOJ is out here, and I have to just assume at this point that it's just a personal dig. I mean, even the name Cat Turd pops up on this list now. And it's just, it's so crazy to me that they thought that this was acceptable by putting these names in there and just being I would say it's controversial, obviously, but it's also meant to cause confusion. Cause it's like, okay, are these people associated with Epstein then? I mean, what do you make of what the DOJ did this weekend?
I think this really begins, it was almost exactly 1 year ago, remember, it was leading into the president's first joint speech to Congress, I think it was the day of even, that they brought some of the most important influencers we have on our side over to the White House. They were not originally brought there, by the way, to receive the Epstein files. They were there for something else. They were brought in to a meeting with Pam Bondi, where they were then given these binders, and then they come out and tell us that they have the Epstein files, and in it is just a bunch of stuff that was already publicly known from his previous two prosecutions. And this was after days of Pam Bondi going on Fox News. See, that's the thing too. I mean, our attorney, we need an attorney general, Brianna, who is doing more than auditioning to host the 11 p.m. Eastern show on Fox News on Sunday nights. There's more to that job than auditioning for that gig. Okay. And so she led us to believe for days on Fox News. They're on my desk. They're piled on my desk. And then when there was the blowback over that stunt she pulled last February, well, then they actually haven't told me that they have everything. The New York office won't give it to me. Well, then what did you tell us for days on Fox News that you had? I think it's the Project Veritas video, of her saying over a lunch several months ago about the amount of carnage that's in these things. I mean, here's the reality of this is, this has been incredibly mismanaged politically, incredibly. And it's a classic Republican Party play. We have done it on so many issues. You were just detailing it on some, to some respects, from a MAHA perspective in the segment before I came on. And one of the problems we have on our side is that we have this, one of the great things about it is we have a very broad coalition, which means there's a wide swath of thought and information from people who don't want to be communist, Marxist, globalist, gay race communists. That we are able to entertain a huge tent of people in thought. But it can be very difficult if you're trying to govern this broad of a coalition, because it's hard to have a political party that makes Howard Lutnick and Brianna Morello both feel like they're at home, right? Okay. And so when you try to bridge that wide chasm of thought and perception, you end up doing things like, well, we're going to do mass deportations. So yes, Howard Lutnick, you're going to have to give up Consuela and your gardener and your nanny. The elites all lose their minds in our party. And then we don't want to offend those folks because they write the big checks. Mm-hmm. But then the people that listen to Brianna Morello, okay, your audience gets really ticked off because then we didn't do what we promised, right? And so there's this constant teeter totter of these two extremes on our side and how we're going to appease them. And you've watched this play out with Epstein. Mm-hmm. All right. For every handful of names, it's funny. We are accepting liability when at least 90% of the liability for Epstein associations are on their side. Mm-hmm. And yet we're the ones over here struggling with how to navigate this, because there's a few people like Lutnick that apparently we can't embarrass or prosecute. Yeah. And so you end up then offending the elites, the rich folks that write the big checks on our side by letting them get embarrassed or scared. And then you don't follow through with prosecutions. And so you take the rank and file on our side and you end up demoralizing them. And this happens consistently within the American right when we try to govern. And it's happening right now on this issue and the issue you talked about last segment.
Yeah, yeah, and it's true, and it's so frustrating to see. By the way, folks at home right now, in case you're wondering, former Prince Andrew, I should say, has officially been released. BBC just ran a photo. He looks absolutely horrified. Hopefully they were doing some waterboarding in there while they had him in the police station. He looks absolutely horrified, though, but officially he has been released. So we'll keep our eye on that guy. We'll keep our eye on him. But, you know, let's talk about the people that we know here in this country who are named in the Epstein files. We're watching. And Steve, I'm laughing about this, but it's not funny, but it's also funny to sit here and watch all of these elitists try to do this dance around. A lot of these billionaires, they knew Epstein, but they weren't friends with him, but they needed money. Apparently these billionaires, Bill Gates needed money. The Clintons needed money for their charitable, causes. And they were just so kind and so sweet to hang out with Jeffrey Epstein to do the American people and the rest of the world a favor, which is really cool, that they did just that. By the way, they're billionaires. So none of this really makes any sense why they'd be doing it. But again, it's one of the many layers of the BS PR scheme that they're trying to push out right now. But you mentioned Howard Lutnick. It's crazy because when you're going through all of the documents being released, although he, in front of, I believe it was Congress, he testified trying to distance himself from everything and saying, yeah, I was with my daughters. I think he said he went to Epstein's Island, but it wasn't what we thought it
was.
As
one does. I mean, let he who has not enjoyed a nice lunch right there on the shores of Epstein Island with your wife and daughter cast the first stone, Brianna, as one does.
Yes. Oh, it's hard not to laugh at this because it's just so stupid and such a bad, like I've done crisis management. This is not what you would tell someone to say. You would tell them to, you know, maybe apologize, but say that there was no wrongdoing. You wouldn't tell them just to make up this line. They're like, oh, I took my daughters there. It's so foolish and mind blowing. It truly is. But oh, by the way, there was another billionaire. Let's see, what was his name? Who $2 billion, Reid Hoffman, who came out too and was laughing during
the
podcast.
He's like,
I needed money and I heard that Epstein was going to give it to me. Yeah, he's worth like $2.6 billion. He needed money. But right now, what's going on right now with Howard Lutnick is worth looking into. I mean, we're going through the files and he's named multiple times in the files, but most importantly, there's an FBI complaint alleging that Howard Lutnick, was a smokescreen is kind of what they're alluding to and say that he was a part of, and this is their accusations, illegal activities. Again, we don't know if that's true or not, but it's listed in the Epstein files. We also know that Howard Lutnick sent to Jeffrey Epstein an invitation for him to come to Hillary Clinton's campaign event to fundraise for Clinton. Yeah. There's that as well. There's also another document that shows that Epstein donated $50,000 to charity celebrating Howard Lutnick in 2017. But Howard Lutnick's not a problem, Steve. That's what we're being told right now by this administration.
I think, again, it goes back to, and that the great irony of this is I didn't know what Epstein Island was until Trump ran for president for the first time in 2016. I had no clue what it was. And I think what you're seeing, again, are the dangers of when you try to govern such a broad coalition. You've seen it, for example, in the president's ability, excellent, phenomenal ability, to use his leverage unilaterally to get things done globally in the foreign policy theater that previous presidents could never get done, all right? I mean, and so I think that's because the leverage has to go one way. He's representing us as a country, and he doesn't have the internal political dynamics that he's got to calculate. And so he can more unilaterally use that leverage. But when we get to domestic politics, this is again where the uniparty aspect, where all these folks are all invested in each other, they're all friends with each other, they're all part. It's the old George Carlin line. It's a big club and we ain't in it. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so we do need some of these elements probably, on some level in order to have a sustainable political party capable of competing with the Democrats. So that's just the reality of living in a fallen world. But then the balancing act becomes if you promise people you're going to act on things and then you don't. And this happens on the Republican Party so often, Brianna, we get the blowback for what we claim to believe. Mm-hmm. But then we don't follow through on those beliefs, and then so we never get the benefit of actually having them. And this happens consistently, whether it's 52 attempts to, so-called repeal Obamacare when they didn't have the votes to do it, and then in Trump's first term when they do, they don't get it done, right? Over and over again. And so you got all the insurance companies ticked off at you, all the corporate elites ticked off at you, and then didn't repeal it, and so now then the base gets ticked off at you because they feel like you didn't keep your word. That's what's happening on Epstein. That's what's happening on immigration and deportations. That's what's happening on a host of issues. And I think that I've talked to several people running for Congress in this cycle on our side. The number one thing I hear over and over again is the biggest problem I have right now is our base is demoralized and getting them motivated to take part and to vote and to be a part of the process again.
Yeah, and that's the problem here. And I hate when they use this term, but the black pillar here. But the reality of it is I don't have many things to be looking forward to right now, unfortunately. And we're having to keep pushing this and pushing this. And that's just where we kind of are at this point. It's really frustrating to see. And speaking of that, you know, a lot of us have been outspoken about the redactions that have been made. And we don't really understand why certain individuals are having their names redacted. And another document, which is apparently a flight log, it shows that Reid Hoffman traveled on Epstein's plane, his private jet, to his island. Now, in that document, it says that there's two names, apparently, that have been redacted in all of this. I mean, Steve, the DOJ is going out there, and they're trying to combat what Thomas Massie, the great congressman from Kentucky, keeps going out there and saying. And they're trying to combat him with these back and forth about how he's wrong about the redactions. But I have more evidence that these redactions aren't taking place, but it's not because they're victims. What mm-hmm. do you make of all of this? Because they'll continue to say that this is justified, but for the rest of us, I want to know who passenger two and passenger three are, but unfortunately our DOJ won't tell us.
I that's the thing. If they just told you, then we would know.
Yeah.
And we'd have the answer to your question. And one of the things that we have to be very careful of, I mean, I have been very hesitant about how much stuff I bring on my show or share on my feeds yeah. that's out there that can be verified. A lot of people trying to weaponize this for other various agendas or whatever, they may have in store that they want to talk about instead. So I can think of an entity, Brianna, that, you know, is uniquely empowered to, investigate such things, bring us clarity, unredact such things, be able to confirm or deny such things with the, you know, what we used to call evidence. What's it called? The Department of Justice. And supposedly our people are in charge of that right now. And they could answer all these questions. I think you just need to figure out over there at the White House on this issue. Your base is not going away. Your base is not following the signals of we're moving on to something. They're not moving on. They're not. This has been a major issue for our base now for several years. And so they're not going to move on. And so you're better off now, instead of trying to get them to move on against their own will, to actually giving them credible information and confirming what's true and then acting on it. Mm-hmm. And that's where you mentioned Massie. I mean, you know, the Trump's been trying to get rid of Massie for several cycles. Let's just play devil's advocate here and say, hey, if I can see why the administration would want to get rid of Massie. He's held up some of the big spending boats and other things they've cared about over the years. They want to put more of a loyalist in there. Okay, hey, that's a president's prerogative, and that's why we have primaries and let the people decide. But if you wanted to get rid of Thomas Massie, handing him an issue like this where he can now credibly get to your right and keep hitting you from the right, I mean, not only are they not going to get rid of Massie in this primary, I think it's way more likely, Brianna, that he's going to win convincingly than they're going to get rid of him. They've handed him an issue. They've absolutely handed him an issue by which he could withstand all of their various attacks on other things, where maybe Trump's base might be more sympathetic to Trump's narrative on this primary than they would be Massie's. They need to get the signal. It doesn't matter how many friends that you think that you don't want to embarrass or you're concerned about, or one or two donors. One of the most mystifying cases in this is Les Wexner, the Victoria's Secret creator, because he's an Ohio donor that was listed as outed as a co-conspirator here. But he's an Ohio donor, never donated to Vance, never donated to Trump. He's a total Rob Portman kind of Mike DeWine globalist simp donor. There's no reason whatsoever not to hammer this guy to look into him as a potential, unindicted co-conspirator here and make him an indicted one if the evidence is there. There's no political incentive to do it at all, and yet we haven't, right? He's not written a single check to Trump or Vance. Why are we protecting that guy? I mean, the whole thing politically makes no sense, and that's why the base is still somewhat in revolt over this.
Yeah, well, as you were mentioning, and you've got your eye on the ball right now when it comes to all of this, because the Oversight Committee over in Congress actually just began releasing his full deposition. Now, again, it's just a little snippet. It's 26 seconds long. It's not the full one right now, but they're going to be releasing it hopefully within the next couple of minutes. It looks like they're going to be dropping that link soon, so we'll keep our eye on that so we can bring it to you all at home very, very soon. But again, Les Wexner just had his deposition video. It's being released right now from the House Oversight Committee, and we'll be keeping our eye on that. But again, that's going to be one that I look forward to seeing, and seeing what they specifically were asking him. So we'll tell you all to hang tight for that one. But I also wanted to bring this up, Steve, as well. because I've been doing for quite some time too as well, digging into the Epstein stuff and trying to get some documents for myself. I've done FOIA requests. That's the Freedom of Information Act request. I've done several of them, but this one stands out to me the most because I asked the Bureau of Prisons. Keep in mind, the Bureau of Prisons is run by the DOJ. So the DOJ is the ones that run the Bureau of Prisons. I requested Epstein's final phone call. Now, as many of you guys know, on the night that he was, the night that he died, we'll just say, because it's very controversial whether he killed himself or not. Night that he died, he actually did make a phone call between 7 and 8 o'clock at night. Now, I wanted to hear what that phone call was about. I want to hear his tone of voice. If he was somebody who, because again, we see the emails, he was potentially working out a plea agreement. I want to hear where his state of mind was in all of this. And unfortunately for me, after filling out this request, I was informed by the Bureau of Prisons that they had no record of his phone call. Well, this sent me spiraling, obviously, and we've now learned that according to the jail itself, the prison itself, that he was apparently speaking to his sister. Those are the accusations that they're saying, but they're also saying that, no, we actually don't even have any records of that. Now, as someone who's a journalist and has been in this game for a little bit longer than most, I know when I call those who are in prison that your calls are recorded, Steve. Mm-hmm. So this was quite concerning to me. But they never gave us the call. I want to play clip 15 for you too, because Senator John Kennedy, who I love dearly because he always gives me the best punchlines, but he also asked Cash Patel in regards to Epstein killing himself allegedly, asked when we're going to see those records. Take a listen.
Did Jeffrey Epstein hang himself or did somebody kill him?
Senator, I believe he hung himself in a cell in the Metropolitan Detention Center.
Are you going to release all the information about that?
Senator, we are working through that right now with the Department of Justice.
When do you think you'll have it done, Cash?
I think in the near future, sir.
Like before I die?
Senator, we've been working on that, and we're doing it in a way that protects victims and also doesn't put out into the ether information that is irrelevant for production of the public, such as CSAM.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, so we're still waiting for a lot of that in regards to it. Again, I still haven't received anything from the Bureau of Prisons. What do you make of all of this?
I got to be honest, man. I just don't trust. Every time Cash Patel speaks, I just feel like he's dissembling. I just never trusted the guy from the beginning. Just don't like the vibe, the aura. I have no idea what information to protect the victims is required. If he committed suicide unilaterally in a cell, I have no idea what would be there that would we could not disclose on behalf of victims. That just doesn't pass any kind of smell test whatsoever. And I think people need to be reminded here, we're talking about who at the time was arguably the most high value incarcerated individual in the entire American penal system.
Yeah.
And so they don't have video of him hanging himself. The cameras broke. The guys fell asleep. We don't have a recording. This is Peter Sellers, Inspector Clouseau levels of zany that no one above a double digit IQ believes. And that's why no one above a double digit IQ believes it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's really an intelligence test. And I think for most of us at home right now, we don't really believe it.
If you believe Epstein killed himself, you're either getting paid to or you're on your 16th booster. Those are the two choices. Yes.
It's true, Steve. I can't argue against that one. It truly is the reality that we're dealing with. And when we sit here and we keep saying, oh, we don't have any recordings. We don't have the phone calls. By the way, I left this part out. He apparently called his sister. That's according to the reports that later came out. But he told the prison guards, get this, that he was calling his mom. Now, his mom died 15 years prior, so there's no way he's calling his mom unless he had a direct line to either heaven or hell. I don't know which one she's in right now, but it doesn't make any sense. Maybe it confused the guards there, but I'm just not buying any of this, Steve. And it's just so frustrating to sit on the outskirts of all of this and then have them tell us we're being transparent with you. Believe it, believe it. I'm not biting any of this right now. Steve Dace, thank you for joining us. You do a great job all the time over at The Blaze as well, breaking all of this down. And we're very grateful for you jumping on with us today and doing just that. So thank you.
Thank you, Brianna. Take care.
Thank you so much. Folks, if you don't follow Steve, you got to give him a follow on X as well. Let me just tell you that. When I listen to Steve speak all the time, he has me questioning, asking a lot of questions, has me double taking and thinking for myself, which not many people in this space have me doing. He is quite the delight to listen to, and he's a very intelligent and a very important conservative voice in the space. So make sure you give him a follow on X as well. That's Steve Dace Show, where you can find him on Twitter. All right, folks. So like I just told you, and, you know, we're going to be diving into it here in InfoWars. We're getting ready to see it, and it's going to be a big one. But it looks like the Oversight Committee has just officially released Les Wexner's deposition. So that's something that we're going to be frantically looking into and watching and sifting through right now. We've got our team on it, and we'll bring you the very latest. That's why you can't go anywhere. You got to stay put. I know Harrison's going to be all over this as well, and we look forward to seeing what his take is on that. But like I also mentioned to you guys, Alex is going to be here in just a little bit, and he's got a lot to sound off on as well about the Epstein files, but most importantly, the arrest of Prince Andrew. Now, again, he's just been released moments ago, but there's a lot of questions. And again, like Steve said, I've been saying this forever. Who would have thought that the first major arrest wasn't going to take place here in the United States? By the way, did you know Ghislaine Maxwell was brought here on H-1B visa? Yeah. Jeffrey Epstein actually got her here on H-1B. Just another reason to get rid of H-1B visas altogether. Just another random fact to throw your way. Folks, if you want another random fact thrown your way, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Why? Well, there's a couple more hours left in this really cool offer that we have going on right now. Every dollar you spend right now over at thealexjonesstore.com, well, you get 100 times the normal entries that we'd give you. So when you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and you support us, we want to support you. You could potentially win this Ford F-250 or even a Ford Mustang, or maybe just $20,000 in cash. It's a great investment over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over there right now and make sure you jump into the contest.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Our medical-grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a one-month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm Brianna Morello, host of The American Journal, which is our morning show here on InfoWars. Filling in for Alex for a little bit. It's like I'm warming up the seat because Alex is going to be walking into the studio very, very soon to bring you the latest in regards to Prince Andrew being arrested. And we look forward to hearing from him on that because you guys know Alex has been following and exposing these Epstein scumbags for quite some time now. So you know he's heated up. And the guy can't even take a day off to get a project done. So he'll be in studio in just a little bit. So stay put there. But I wanted to bring it back to the glyphosate story that we brought to you earlier in the show. As many of you guys saw, the president signing an executive order yesterday at the White House. And it's meant to promote glyphosate as if it's not a cancer-causing pesticide that we spray on our food products. Well, I don't spray it, but those that hate us apparently do. And this has been something that was put on my radar by RFK Jr. As many of you guys know, RFK Jr. is an absolute patriot, but he's been fighting this fight for quite some time now. And, well, he sounded off on this subject matter. That's why I know he probably saw that executive order and was cringing. But I want to play clip 9 for you because RFK details why this is such a horrific thing to be spraying on our food products and how it doesn't even have to be done, that this is in fact even an option. Take a listen.
Diseases and sickness in people, right? Or about this glyphosate, I think it's called.
Yeah, glyphosate.
There's been a ton of lawsuits, but they still don't have to take this product off of the shelf, so that's the craziest thing to me. Is that right?
Well, you know, it's a problem because you have all the row croppers are dependent on it right now. And there's other technology that is emerging right now that actually, you know, I looked at one yesterday. It's a tractor attachment that uses lasers to kill weeds. Mm. And that, you know, if they can make that affordable, particularly for smaller farmers, that will be the answer because you'll be able to, they can kill bugs and they can kill weeds. You program this thing and it zaps the weeds with a laser. It makes all the cells explode and it destroys them. And, so that, you know, there's a future that we can now see the light at the end of the tunnel there. But right now, if you banned glyphosate outright, it would put out of business 80% of our farmers.
Got it. Wow. So we're kind of dependent upon something that we know makes us sick.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, we're doing a lot of work in the HHS to look for other alternatives and to find front and off ramp, because the farmers don't want to be using chemicals anyway. They're very expensive. They know, you know, they have some of the highest cancer rates of any profession. And farmers care about their land. They want to leave it for their kids. It also destroys the microbiome in the soil, and that causes erosion. And so it's not a good long-term solution. You know, the issue is how do you transition off of it without putting farmers out of business?
Right.
Yeah, here's that laser.
Oh, wow, that's unbelievable. Laser weeding robot kills 100,000 weeds per hour.
Yeah, and it also kills insects. You can program it to kill, you know, certain insects. And, you know, that machine looks pretty, that machine probably costs $1 million. So,
wow. But if you could have a couple of those running at night through your farm, that'd be sick.
Well, yeah. It's a lot better than using chemical pesticides. So this is going to be, you know, the future, but
we're not there yet.
We're not there yet.
Wow. It's just wild that we get stuck into something that makes us sick and we don't have it's like, I don't know. It just feels like such a conundrum. It must be that like that for you guys a lot where you're like, this is just kind of where we are, you know?
The agricultural community has been very, very supportive of the MAHA agenda and, they're helping us transition away from ultra-processed foods, which is really the biggest issue. That's what's causing all these chronic disease in kids. And farmers are going out of business. You know, farmers usually lose money 7 out of 10 years. Even when they're making money, they're making, you know, a lot of them are just making for their work hours minimum wage. And we're having a hard time finding young people who will go into farming. So that is a crisis that, you know, we need to keep into consideration.
Yes, we do, folks. Yes, we do. Folks, Alex is jumping in the studio in just a little bit. Don't go anywhere. Stephen Garland is also going to be joining as well for the fourth hour of the program. So buckle up. More to expose in just a second.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Everything is proceeding as I am predicted it would. Total complete. Trillion % vindication.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
It is Thursday, February 19th, 2026. And to say that all hell has been released would be an understatement. The next in line to be the next king of England, and his brother died, the second oldest son of Queen Elizabeth II, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, fake name, they took that name, Mountbatten Windsor, before World War I. Andrew Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, direct line in the first of their family tree, Vlad the Impaler, or Count Dracula. And so the House of Dracula is in a great crisis because of the known history of Jimmy Savile and the murdering of children and the vampirism, all confirmed, satanic temples, highest security clearance, best friends with the king, and now all the vampirism, the blood drinking, the exsanguination of babies to pump their bone marrow and other stem cells into the rich and famous. Yes, my friends, it's really happening. But we're not talking about Count Chocula here. We're not talking about the count on Sesame Street. A one, a two, a three. We're talking about the real deal. The spirit in them is the vampire. That's what Bob Marley said. He said, Babylon is the vampire. That's what Billy Corgan says. The world is a vampire. It's the archetype of it. Oh, the king. Oh, the painting of the blood all around him. And you look, there's faces of demons all over it. Pull that up. So they see you as steak at the store. Their whole religion is about how you are garbage. Steak on the table. And they can put poison shots in you, and they can brainwash your kids, and they can do whatever they want. They can spray aluminum dioxide on you from the aircraft. It's all about blocking out the sun. It's all about playing God. That's what we're talking about here. And of course, they go, oh, we're shocked. They know full well the whole Saxe-Coburg-Gothas go back to him. Moving on. He lives in Count Dracula Castle large parts of the year, where orphans come and live, and he protects them. So this is a mega, massive firestorm. And you have the White House saying move on. You have Trump saying, well, it's going to really hurt the country, you know, if we don't move on from Epstein. No one's moving on. And the Democrats are willing to self-immolate, even though it's 99% them, they're still going with it. And we have congresswomen who are Democrats saying, oh, yeah, Nancy Mace, this will destroy the stock market, but we're still going forward with it. Good, good. Because we want to destroy the globalists. We want to destroy the satanic death cult. We want them to face trial. Now, it looks like they're going after him for giving secret state secrets to Epstein, the spying operation. I think they're trying to isolate it and keep it away from the Satanism and the rest of it. And believe me, that's what it is. Remember, I'm the first person decades ago to explain this to you on him specifically and the cloning before anybody ever said it. Because I know these people. They run the Peter Nygaard, all of it. So This is huge. And Trump has attached himself to it, and you've got white pillar people that are really mad saying, Alex, you're a traitor. You need to just shut up about this. I am not going to shut up about this. I gave Trump the benefit of the doubt. I knew the Democrats were 99% guilty. I knew that Pam Bondi got the 14.6 terabytes, sent it out to the FBI offices around the country, but then nothing was done. Okay, we've seen one Somali fraudster indicted yesterday. Okay, you put the scorecard up, we finally got one Epstein pedophile arrested. So at least the scorecard isn't 0-0, let's put that back up, 0-0-0-0-0, Russian collusion hoax arrest, 0, January 6th, Fed staging it, 0, Mar-a-Lago raid, 0, Biden auto pin, 0, 2020 election stolen, 0, Epstein pedophile arrest, 1, COVID arrest, 0, Benghazi, 0, Doge finding, 0. And there's actually been a lot of indictments on it, but not a bit high level. Ukraine impeachment hoax, 0. Here's a short clip from Fox News talking about the arrest of the king's brother.
Police say they took the brother of King Charles into custody on suspicion of misconduct in public office. Officers reportedly arrived at the royal estate in eastern England earlier this morning to make the arrest of the former prince, who turns 66 years old today. Andrew is in custody, and investigators are carrying out searches at addresses in Berkshire and Norfolk. Police are releasing this statement in part without naming Andrew, by the way, saying, quote, following a thorough assessment, we have now opened an investigation into this allegation of misconduct in public office, an offense that carries up to life in prison in the UK, by the way. We're still waiting more details of this breaking news, but this comes after Andrew was stripped of his royal title last October over ties to convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, and after Thames Valley police said they were assessing a complaint over the alleged sharing of confidential material by the former prince with the late sex offender. The former prince has consistently denied any wrongdoing. Misconduct in public office refers to, quote, serious, willful abuse or neglect of powers relating to the role of public office. We shall see what comes of this. It's a developing story, as you guys know, so we'll keep our viewers updated.
So they'll probably never go to the pedophile area, but they're doing this to take control of everything so they can say, oh, well, you know, at least we're charging him. And then he'll probably, I think they're probably going to throw him in the tower. I think he'll probably spend some time in prison. People won't need to see something. And again, his crime is that he went to the CIA Mossad base and compromised the MI6 Satan mothership. If he would have just, you know, hung out with all the groups they've got there that are even worse, if that's possible. I mean, let's just say Epstein learned everything he knew from, like, Peter, all these people, Savelle, you name it. So his crime was getting caught and getting caught up now so that the CIA has blackmail on the British royal family. It's supposed to go the other way. They're supposed to blackmail us with the pedophilia and the devil worship, not the other way around. And that's how the CFR set up in 21 in New York for British intelligence to try to take over the U.S. government had a lot of success, was with the pedophilia operations. And, of course, Maxwell's dad was the head of MI6 pedophile operations and also the head of Mossad pedophile operations. That's all on record. And then you got Les Wexner, who is a high-level controller, all of this, and he is a Republican, and he goes back to Bill Barr and his dad and Herbert Walker Bush and all the pedophilia going on there on record. I mean, we got Washington Times articles, you name it, 14-year-old boys, sex slaves in the White House, George Herbert Walker Bush. Okay? And just look at this story right here. I covered this yesterday. This is Les Wexner in different newspaper articles over the years saying he's possessed by a Jewish demon named Dubuque that takes him over and makes him do evil, horrible things. You can read all about it in these articles here. And they name their bank accounts after all these demons. Now the reason I raise that is now, where is it? I did a story on it last night. You have really all over the country this is being done, but in Rhode Island, the schools ordered the elementary students to worship Moloch, and, you know, to make a shrine to Moloch and paint Moloch with children standing under his feet, kind of like the satanic temple people put those up, little children looking up at Baphomet. And it's all about completely and totally rubbing it in your face. Rhode Island school ordered to paint a demon god Moloch. This is a school wall mural, Moloch, a satanic demon from Jinx Middle School. She's in middle school in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. The mural was painted by children with guidance from the teacher and approval from the administrator. Moloch is the demon of child sacrifice. Isn't that nice? Kind of telling you in your face. It's called the lesser magics. They believe they get bonus points when they do real rituals, but also tell you about it. Then that's called a lesser magic. So let's find you again. Epstein called himself Baal, which is another human sacrifice god. Basically, Satan himself is Baal. So there you go. That's who we're dealing with. And Islam is heavily into all of this. And Islam is big into pedophilia and being able to rape and kill anybody you capture that's your enemy, including their children and women. So that's why they're so allied with Islam in the UK. And never forget, Keir Starmer, for 15 years, was the head magistrate and basically prosecuted no pedophiles, protected the mass Muslim grooming gangs, over 200,000+ white girls. Any father tried to help, imprisoned. Police blew the whistle, imprisoned. Little 10-year-old girl escapes, bloody, beat. You're going to jail for reporting the Muslims. The Muslims are the Renfields that serve Dracula. They're the servant. They're the Grimer worm tongue that serves Solomon. These are all archetypes for a reason. We'll be getting more into this coming up. We've got the head spokesperson for DHS head Noam. We'll find out more about what Homan's been talking about with half the children that were smuggled in under Obama's third term during Biden, many of them in sex slavery and slave labor have been found. We're going to get more details of that with Victor Avila coming up, and Brianna's going to be in here interviewing him. That's big. Then we'll shift back into all the huge Epstein revelations and so much more here today. But I do want to hit this now, and this is something really bad. And we did some research. We found out why Trump did it. As soon as I saw this, I knew Trump has been set up. I'm not just defending him. I know how they manipulate him. They go, sir, we need glyphosate for the manufacture of weapons, which is true, or the main chemical precursor. And because the companies have all been sued, and Bayer's going to go out of business that bought it, we need liability protection. So he declared it a national security issue, which now gives them liability protection from all the tens of millions they've killed with glyphosate knowingly, that Rumsfeld got approved back in the 80s. And so now it's been given liability protection. Overhead shot. Trump order pushes glyphosate production, Roundup chemical, hated by MAHA. Well, just literally grows cancer. And we have the executive order. And yes, it's used in weapons manufacturing. But he's basically bypassing Congress to give them liability protection. While Kennedy goes around and exposes it, Trump's talked about, you know, chemicals in the food that are hurting us, how we have to get it out. And he said, oh, we've got new stuff coming out that will replace it. Well, so he's told, do this for weapons manufacturing, but still it gives the protection to the companies for what they've done. Monsanto and now Bayer. Remember, Bayer knowingly put HIV in the Factor VIII shots and hepatitis, given to millions of people, killed them, hemophiliacs. So here is the executive order on that. And here's Kennedy just a few days ago talking about it's not just glyphosate. It's what they put in Roundup that goes through the blood-brain barrier that supercharges it and makes it even more deadly. People don't have gluten intolerance. You have glyphosate intolerance. Here's Kennedy.
We shouldn't be talking about glyphosate. We should be talking about Roundup. And if you read all of these documents that we've gotten from Monsanto and see all the sneaky stuff that they do, one of the most fearful things for them is that somebody is going to do testing on Roundup, because even in their most private emails to each other, they're talking about Nobody's ever tested this, and we know that the formulation is much, much more toxic than the glyphosate. Because the formulation has all these surfactants in it and adjuvants in it that are intended to allow the glyphosate to slip through the bark of the plant and through the coating of the plant, and they allow also those same chemicals also enable that molecule to penetrate the blood-brain barrier and get into the human system, and they're toxic themselves. And the synergistic toxicity is something they've been able to keep the regulatory agencies from ever looking at that. The only thing they ever test is pure glyphosate. Nobody ever gets to test Roundup. And of course, Roundup has many different formulations, but they're all much more toxic than glyphosate.
So, according to the white pill cult, I should just give glyphosate to my kids, thank Trump for this, and I'll put pressure on him. I'm going to put pressure on him, and I predict in the end, Congress will pass a law and strip them of this liability protection. He needs to redo the executive order and say it's only for weapons production, and then they should make Bayer spin it off to that and have a promise it won't be used in agriculture. It is killing everybody. Damn it. And I'm still seeing a lot more good out of Trump than the Democrats, and they're the ones in the pedophile party worldwide, the left are, so we know, and I want to see him prosecuted. But I'm really getting fed up here, okay? But I'm just going to put Trump's feet to the fire every day. Now, another issue I want to hit real quick. All over, you see it all over TV, but all over Europe, particularly Canada, they teach, and they've now banned in the colleges saying that Anglo-Saxons exist and are a culture. Irish don't exist, Scottish, English, you do not exist. And they teach Somalis, you know, that they found Minnesota 3,000 years ago, it's theirs. And they teach that blacks in the school officially built Stonehenge, and that they are the natives. And they now have African tribes that have moved to Scotland that go to people's doors screaming and saying, get out, it's my house. The government's like, no, they are the Scots. You are not Scots. I've showed the newscast. But there's new ones that you cannot make up. Meanwhile, I got Muslims saying, yes, your dogs are evil, and we're going to ban them. This is all being brought in to destroy us, okay? Because the Western culture stood against tyranny. It's not compatible with globalism. So just back to back, just play the latest where they are. There's one truthful thing. They go, transsexuals were very popular with the Muslims. Yeah, black slaves were called eunuchs. They cut their genitals off and penises off so they couldn't have sex with the Muslim women. So this is just unbelievable. And that's what transgender is a satanic death cult slavery. So, but here's the clips.
Now, woke schools teaching pupils that Stonehenge was built by black people, Alex.
Yes. So children are being taught that Stonehenge, this is a story in Mail Online today, Stonehenge was built by black people, and the Roman Emperor Nero married a trans woman. These are the stories that are being, and they're also being told in pro-transgender lessons that slaves had their body parts altered, and it was a form of gender transition. I mean, you couldn't make it up. Just
do you know that having dogs in your home without any valid reason causes you to lose huge amounts of rewards daily and also keeps angels away from your home? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns us about this in an authentic hadith, saying, whoever keeps a dog, except for herding, hunting, or farming, will have 2 kirats of good deeds deducted every day. And it is said that a kirat is equivalent to a huge mountain. So if you're losing 2 kirats, that means you're losing 2 mountains daily.
And it gets worse. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that no angel will enter a home with a dog inside. Imagine your home where you pray, make dua, and seek blessings. Angels stay away from because of a dog. Islam teaches us to be kind to animals, but also follow guidance. So if you or anybody that you know owns a dog without any valid reason, think twice. Share this so others can learn.
Oh my goodness. You want to see the newscast where all the colleges over there, Oxford, Cambridge, they're all banning and saying it's hate speech to say that there is such a thing as white culture. And that's a constant leftist thing. And again, this is to create total division. Absolutely insane. But this is the weapon system. First, it's accept transgenderism. And then, you can't say mother or father on your baby's birth certificate, someone might not have a mother or father. That's hurtful. It's about taking your identity, taking girls' identities away, taking their sports away, their jobs, their businesses. It's total war against civilization. And newsflash, it's all satanic. It's all designed to basically destabilize humanity so we'll accept the transhumanist globalist program. And Epstein is in the emails saying, "We transgenderism is good. We're training everybody to accept transhumanism." As I told you decades ago, we've got their number. We know their operation. Now, we're going to go to break. Huge raft of massive guests today coming up. Remember, you're the Paul Revere's, whether you're watching on Rumble, whether you're watching on X or Infowars.com/show. Share those feeds on your email list, your text message, perfect strangers, you name it. You're the Paul Revere's. You've got all the power. Use it. Share the live feed from Raw Auctions on X, the backup at AJN Live on X, the Infowars feed on X. Share it, share it, share it, and say, key information is being covered. The bad guys don't want you to know. This is the forbidden. This is the verboten information, which it is. And separately, thanks for all your support. Today and tomorrow, the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle. And it only happens every few months, where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, you, when you get 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. There's a time where there's a crossover for 1 week. That ends tomorrow. Take advantage of it now. But get your ultramethylene blue. Get it all. But every order in the site for a very limited time, it's probably just last throughout the weekend, I'm told, because is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on Infowars like 20 years ago. I noticed everybody else copied it, which is cool. I just go, why don't we have that classic design back? So they brought it back, and it's a ring of, what, 13 stars around 1776. And it's simple, it's clean, and a leftist probably won't kill you or murder you for it. You know, if you have like a MAGA or Infowars hat, that's a real adventure. This is just at the airport or wherever, the store, hey, patriots know. And it's just exciting, and it spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the store, become a VIP for $30 a month. You can cancel any time for free. Instantly, you get $40 to spend each month. The minute you click that button for $30, you get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers, special sales, top everything. So anybody buying anything should be a VIP. And it's really no commitment. You just get better deals. Cancel any time for free. One click in your profile. Everyone should be a VIP. Also, sometimes stuff runs out and sells out. You don't want that to happen? Become a subscriber. Cancel any time. They hold it back for you at the biggest discounts as well. Become a VIP. Become a subscriber. But regardless, share the live feeds of the show. Tell folks about those local AM and FM stations, cable stations, because that's how we reach the people, and that's how we change the world. The whole globalist house of cards is coming down. We've been vindicated. You've been vindicated. Nothing's going to stop that. Stay with us. Massive guest straight ahead.
Our medical-grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a one-month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it, because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity, with no letdown, and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do,
thealexshowstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexshowstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So, we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexshowstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexshowstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Sweet dreams
are made of. Everybody, welcome back to the Alex Jones show. I am Stephen Gardner. I'll be hosting this last segment. Alex and his team have done an incredible job covering Prince Andrew being arrested. This guy could spend the rest of his life in jail. More is going to come out about that. I think we need to immediately call for a forensic crime scene analysis of the Zorro Ranch that Epstein ran. We're reading about babies being born there, babies being disappeared, foreign prostitutes being buried there. I can't wait to see everything that gets exposed about Prince Andrew. I mean, we already know that Virginia Giuffre, who sadly is no longer with us, she named by name Prince Andrew. But today I want to go through the rigged elections that are destroying America. We know the Democrats are behind that. And I've got a special guest that has intimate knowledge, somebody that has personally briefed President Donald J. Trump on this. And I'll bring Joe Von Hutton Pulitzer on in just a minute. But President Trump has tried to warn us for years that the 2020 election wasn't just messy. It was engineered. And every month that goes by, more of the puzzle pieces drop into place and prove he was right and that you and I are not crazy. Think about what we know. Democrats didn't just get the vote out. Hillary Clinton's private attorney, Mark Elias, and the Democrat legal machine quietly changed or challenged election rules in over 200 instances across the country. Deadlines, signature rules, drop boxes, ballot curing, anything that made it easier to flood the system with paper and harder to challenge if there was a bad ballot. Now, that happened at the same time COVID was weaponized to shut down normal life and justify unprecedented explosion of mail-in voting.
and unsecured ballot boxes. Trillions of dollars of debt was added to our national debt in order to use this as an excuse to remove Donald J. Trump. Every serious lawsuit Trump and his legal team brought to question was pushed out, shut down, tossed out for standing or some kind of technicality, and none of the evidence was allowed to be shown. Well, we're going to be talking about that and exposing that. We've also been proven that China, they were trying to rig the election. Trump's former DNI, John Ratcliffe, he exposed that China was trying to influence our elections, but he was a day late. That came out on January 7th, just as wall-to-wall coverage of the January 6th hysteria kicked off, with CNN running 24-hour coverage of ways to go get grandmas that were ushered into the Capitol. We were told that Smartmatic was an innocent company, and now the same company is under federal indictment for allegedly bribing officials to rig votes in the Philippines. We were told that foreign regimes couldn't touch our elections. Then we watched the U.S. trap and grab a Venezuelan power player, Maduro, and bring him in. So we're going to be learning a lot more about that. And today, we're going to lay out all the receipts, the ballot images in Georgia. We'll talk about what's going on in Arizona, the lawfare, the censorship. Why on earth is Georgia fighting so hard, millions and millions of dollars, in order to bury the ballots and bury the story? Now there's been an FBI raid with permission from a judge. The FBI went in and gathered all of the data. We know that the machines in Puerto Rico have been picked up from Tulsi Gabbard. But now you've got Georgia. They're about to spend upwards of $2 to $3 million to try to get back everything that the FBI was able to secure and to bury this once again. I want to bring on my special guest today, Jovan Hutton Pulitzer. This is the man that did the Maricopa County 2020 election audit and found that our elections are not safe, our elections are not secure, and they are not free and fair. Jovan, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, sir, for having me. And I let you know, don't folks think about this as just as simple as you change a vote in a machine. There's all kinds of dastardly deeds. Steve, you were talking about Hillary and their attorneys. You know, one of the things they did to steal the 2020 election to get cases thrown out is they formed a group called the 65 or the T65, a group of attorneys that every time a state had an issue and an attorney took a conservative case, they immediately filed against them, basically calling their credibility as an attorney into question, forcing them back to the bar. What you don't know is those attorneys have to deal with that within 30 days or they could lose their license. So it was kind of a strong arm tactic to say, if you take anything in the conservative realm, we're going to destroy you and your reputation.
Wow. I didn't realize, I knew that they were going after them. I didn't realize it was a coordinated effort to do that. I mean, we've all lived through what's going on. I want to show a video here in a second. This is the Georgia audits and how they were not done correctly. And we've got Garland Favorito, the lead, the tip of the spear there in Georgia. He lays out to John Solomon all of the different ways that they have found that Donald Trump won the election. So if you can play video number one, then we'll come back and talk about it.
It's really easy, John. The probable cause for the warrant focused on five areas. One was the vote count discrepancies. There were three counts, and they told us that it all added up, all three counts matched. In reality, the audit, which was conducted of the original count, had 6,691 double-reported ballots and a 3,466 discrepancy difference. That was confirmed by Governor Kemp's own study that was based on our information that Joe Rossi took to him, and he just, Joe did a great job of getting the governor to corroborate the information that David Cross and others had put out there. So that's one. That is fully corroborated. It's not debunked. The governor's own report has it. And the machine count that they did after that, that was off another 4,880 votes. Yeah. So that's number one. The second one is the double scan ballots. We now know that there's 3,930 double scan and double counted ballots. The state election board heard that on July 9th of 2024 from expert witness testimony from Philip Davis. He's a 30-year career image analyst. And they got all that on the record. That has never been refuted. So that's two. Then you've got the counterfeit ballots. Number three, which was sworn affidavits from four senior poll managers and two audit monitors that found counterfeit ballots in the Fulton County audit. And that was when I was there and Caroline Jeffords was there. We filed that original lawsuit back in December 23rd of 2020. They knew they were counterfeit, John, because they were mail-in ballots. They weren't folded from being mail. Yeah. They weren't written with a writing instrument. It looked like it was toner copied. They were not on the correct paper stock. And they were voted the same way down ballot for dozens of a row. So that's three things. And then the fourth one is the missing records, which that was a criminal referral just recently for 315,000. There were ballots from missing tabulator tapes, ballot images, actually. And that's only a portion of over 1 million missing records, missing images, missing SHA files, signature authentication files that back that up. And then you've got the whole other issue of Fulton County backfilling about 17,000 votes to make everything match up.
All right, Jovan, you did the audit in Maricopa County. Nobody needs to tell you that this is not the most fair, secure election. Let me just recap really quickly what was said. 6,691 double reported ballots, 3,466 discrepancy ballots, 4,800 vote count that was a discrepancy, 3,930 double scanned, double counted ballots verified by image expert Philip Davis. That's never been refuted. Counterfeit ballots. You've got four senior polling managers saying that these ballots were fake. No folds, no crease, definitely didn't come through the mail. They were printed. 315,000 missing ballots. And then these tapes, that they don't have anything on. Your thoughts on all of this coming out of Georgia?
First thing, it's all monumental, but let's do a dictionary check first, shall we? When the original recount in Georgia was done, the state handles it. Here's their version of the recount. They take the little ticker tapes that come from the machines, kind of like your gas station receipt. They look at how many people that it said used a machine with a ballot. Let's say it said 1,000. Let's say they have five of them. They should have 5,000 ballots. If they total those five tapes up and the total says 5,000 when they add what the machine says, that's considered an audit, all good. The next level of audit they go to is they'll take that same ticker tape that says there was 1,000 ballots. They'll go get the boxes, run it through a paper counter to count, are there 1,000 sheets of paper that are ostensibly a ballot? And if that checks, they'll say, hey, it checked out. There was no, and I want to be very careful with this, there was no full forensic audit or even a forensic audit in Georgia at all. We had it ready to go about three weeks down the road when it all got shut down by the very attorneys that attacked everybody in Georgia when they knew we were going to do it. So let's talk about the paper and the folds, and it didn't look right in the paper right. That all comes from our work teaching people what to look for. But here's the catch. Having a ballot that gets scanned in. Now, we on my side, we were the first ones to know it. We held it back to keep it secret. But it got out in Georgia and exposed it. And that's part of why all these attorneys came in. To double scan in a ballot is technically not a crime. It's a boo-boo. And there's a big difference between a boo-boo and a crime. Because all that person that double scans them in has to say, Well, I didn't know. That's not what I intended. And under our Election Assistance Commission, VVSG, Voluntary Voting System Guidelines, that is not a crime. So the second phase it has to go to, so that we got a boo-boo when it ran in. Now we get to the second phase when, quote-unquote, they certify the election. And remember, the election supervisors do it, and then the county does it at their supervisory level, and then it goes on to the state before it pops up to Washington, D.C. Again, it falls into the boo-boo factor, because all they can say is, well, I didn't actually look at the physical ballots. I just looked at the count. It said it was there. Therefore, I trust the people, which is the default, and therefore they certified it. Again, that's a maladministration error. That's a boo-boo. Now, how do you triangulate this? Whether it's a ballot, when a ballot scan expert can look at it, and I've looked at every one of these, you can see this ballot here. It has unique markings, unique scribbles, the same pattern vote, same numbers on it, and you see it here, and it pops up twice, usually in reverse order. In other words, if they run in a real ballot, and then that crappy ballot, and then 98 other ballots, well, in the first batch, it came in as ballot number 2. Next time they run it, it comes in as ballot number 98 or 99, because it's just been reversed. They're running it back through the machine. So that's easy to catch. But that's not a crime. The crime occurs when you can take that double-scanned ballot, which right now, if you don't have the physical ballot, they can say that was a boo-boo or a computer glitch. You have no proof to refute it, and the judge has to come down on county officials that say that's what it is. When you take those two images and you go back to the box of ballots, and that ballot's not there because it won't be there, or they duplicated it to make it be there, which means you're going to find it over here, and you're going to find it over here, that's where the state and federal felony comes in. Now, this is what kind of worries me about the investigation here, is because they were supposedly going to pick up 700 boxes of everything having to do with the election. Of course, one of the local head of the FBI's there tipped off the county guys, and the county guys handed over everything but about, we'll just call it 50 boxes. Well, ironically, the actual ballots that were in question, if we were to put them in boxes, would be approximately 50 boxes. So my thinking is they yanked those real quick because they were there, and that's where the true incriminating evidence is. We'll have to let this play out. Now, as far as them resuing and spending millions to stop it and say you can't get it, as of this morning, it might have been discovered that the county, to authorize that resuit, did not go through the right procedures to get it authorized and didn't put it to a vote. Therefore, it might be moot to begin with, and they might not be able to do it. I'm waiting to get additional information. But you have to understand, yes, this is great. Yes, we all know it happened. Yes, we see it. There's all these indications. But nothing will change unless you have a bat to hit them with. I say the bat is felonies, not misdemeanors. Felonies. Now, may this force some upgrade? Well, you can't help but upgrade when you finally understand how the people do it. But can they get it into contracts? Can we get it into documents? And by the way, it doesn't have to be law. It just has to be simple contracts. That's what I'm waiting for, because right now I understand how the game's played politically, and it may have already been pre-neutered. We need those 50 boxes we should have had long ago. I'm holding out for those 50 boxes. That's where the crimes are.
Okay. That's good to know. I reported on that. But I didn't understand how important they are. And now that you've explained, okay, like, yeah, you can dismiss this, you could dismiss that, but these missing boxes, it's like, oh, we can't find the smoking gun. Well, it's because you guys hid it, because you were tipped off. Now I want to roll video number 2, and then we'll talk about it. This is a guy who goes before the election board, and it basically explains just how jumbled and messed up the election system is in Georgia. Go ahead and roll video 2.
It just goes on to show how bad the data is in Georgia, that you can't really audit an election if voter history files, voter rolls, nothing matches, which makes it very difficult to say. I mean, I can't say with any certainty that these people voted at all. But what I can say is the data shows votes and the data shows no votes. So really what we need is a clean system where everybody knows who voted, how they voted, And anybody can do an audit of the election. So that's the biggest problem here. And the other problem is the fact that I, as a citizen, found 10,000 people registered more than once in Fulton County when the ERIC system claims that they find duplicates and merge them. Secretary of State claims they find duplicates and merge those. And the county, according to Georgia law, is supposed to, from time to time, maintain the voter rolls. They failed also. So I think I'm in the wrong position as a citizen to do ERIC's job, Secretary of State's job, and Fulton County's job, and then identify or do my best to identify fraud in this state. Everybody's failing, and a citizen should not be doing this job.
All right, Jovan, I want to just recap 4 points that stuck out to me. This gentleman says none of the voter data matches to the point that I can't say with certainty people voted in this election. He then said election systems need to be designed to be audited. He said that they're purposely left to confuse people and be untrackable. He then said in just one county, we found 10,000 people that had a duplicate vote in a state that Trump supposedly lost by 11,000. And they say, here's 10,000 duplicates. And then as a citizen, he says, how am I doing a better job than the ERIC system, which is a multi-million dollar system, as just a regular citizen? Your thoughts on that?
Well, the ERIC system's a scam. We started covering it about 6 years ago. It's a very small office, 4 people, and I think they ship all the voter rolls for the 30-some-odd states that do it overseas. That should not be allowed, but that's also why they're pushing back on states saying, I want it. Oh, you can't have it, when they're pushing back on Trump. So let's kind of go back. Number one, somebody, you got to understand the difference between voter fraud and election fraud, because those are two different things. Voter fraud basically means that somebody got dead mama's ballot and they voted it, knowing mama was dead. Now that is fraud. Or they voted twice and they knew they voted twice. That is fraud. The system will always create things that look like voter fraud because they get to blame it on one person. And ironically, all systems will find a little bit of voter fraud so they can say, look, like Maricopa, we got 2.5 million voters. This one lady voted her dead mama's ballot and we find her and gave her a jail sentence. You got to ask the question, if it's all secret, how'd they find her? But that's another story. So it's all designed to push back on an individual voter. That's number one. When it all pushes to an individual voter, the rats that run our system are never going to be held culpable. Now, we have 3,300 some odd counties in the United States of America. I would tell you right now, 90% of them could not pass any given election audit, period. They wouldn't. That's how bad this is. So it's not about audit or auditability. We don't have any. It's trash. It's junk. It is logically designed to cross-reference each other, and they create it kind of synthetically. They just won't let you look at the documents to really verify it. Now let's hop into data. In a court, you cannot convict a person based on data. You can only convict a person based on evidence. You have to understand, data is not evidence. Data is an occurrence. Evidence is where you can prove intent. There are two different things. Okay. It still leaves that same door open of, well, yeah, there was two ballots there. We didn't know that was a boo-boo. We didn't know that person voted. Somehow they slipped through the system. They didn't. Oh, it was a glitch. Staying in the data space allows the system to say it was a glitch. It was a boo-boo. We got hacked. We don't know how it happened. It was not what we meant to happen. But you get that piece of paper there. The ballot, and the ballot reflects that data point and shows those data things. The paper gets there by a person, multiple persons, not just the voter, the people running the elections, getting it there, putting it there, putting in that batch, putting in that binder, putting in that box and counting it. That's where you have to get. And that is why Fulton is playing the game it is right now of hiding the paper. It is why they fight to hide the paper all day long. But that's the only thing that's going to finally break the back of the system. There are a lot of people like the person you had doing tremendous work out there, and they're busting their butt. And he's right. This should not fall to the citizens to do. But I have yet to find any elected official, not one that actually knows how the elections work, how people get on the voter roll, where that voter comes from, what is checked, what is not checked, how it's processed, and what's expected. I'm telling you, it is so vastly broken that my only recommendation to President Trump is shut it down, burn it down right now under critical infrastructure, start back from ground zero with the knowledge we have, do it right.
Wow. Okay. That's a big task for them to do. And
can I correct you? It's not.
Yes, go ahead. Okay.
It is not. It's the most simplest, easiest task in the world. I'm telling you, this is so painfully easy to fix. People think it's big. It's not. In 2017, when they did what they did with the plandemic and all this other crap, because it's been planned for years, folks, this didn't spontaneously happen, and they do it several hundred different ways. But they passed a law that basically put our voting inside critical infrastructure, just like the phone company, the power company, all of that's critical infrastructure. They did that so they could attach DHS and the FBI to it so they could see all the votes. That was really Russia, Russia, Russia. But in their move to be able to see the data legally and not federalize our elections, they actually opened a door for President Trump to say, oh, it's critical infrastructure. We think we're compromised. Shut it down. We're going to start from zero while we investigate this. He literally, it's a stroke of a pen, one call in one day, and he can shut all this down.
Okay. We got to get this information to him. We've got 30 seconds left. Is passing the SAVE Act going to have an impact, a positive impact on the elections?
Okay. I can give you a quick test. We all want voter ID. Yes or no?
Yes.
And if you show up and you vote with an ID, you should be somebody to be able to be verified, right?
Yes.
Is your cable bill and your library card valid ID?
Probably not.
We're gonna make it, men!
Now look here, even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements.
Sometimes we have BOGO Sups.
We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.